The Drew and Mike Show from the DealsInD.com studios, starring yours truly, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, Joey. We're all in the house, and more to come, because No Filter Eli will be here in about, an hour and 5 minutes, except he's always early.
No Filter Eli?
That's the name of his podcast.
Oh.
He will be No Filter Eli from here to forward.
He seems like he has a filter.
Not on his podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He filters it for us.
Oh, well.
I don't think he filters much, to be honest. But we'll have to test him on that. Brian Vander Ark coming up in just minutes, as the Verve Pipe will be at the Royal Oak Music Theater. Boy, that's a nice show Saturday night.
Yeah.
When's the last time Verve Pipe played around here?
That's a good question. Question number one.
Had to have been over the summer, right?
I remember asking him, "God, why don't you guys play around here?" And he said, I thought he said
something profound.
There really didn't seem to be a good reason. But, it's hard for these Michigan bands to play Michigan because they play Michigan a lot. And so,
used to them?
Maybe a little bit. I know they were giving away sponge tickets for the Shelter when I left the Elvis Costello show.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, giving away sponge tickets. That doesn't feel right to me. But hopefully they did very well. I mean, sponge can certainly draw a crowd anywhere. But, when you're playing a big theater, a little more pressure. So, Anyway, I noticed the tickets aren't that expensive either. You can get in for, I think it's $25 to $35.
Yeah, and that goes in part...
Well,
most of it goes to Fund a Life, which is this fundraiser that this person, Mark Howell, put together. And he had stage 4 cancer. He had a 11-pound tumor.
Oh.
And his health insurance was like, sorry.
Prove it.
They sent a letter that just said, prove it.
So he, set this fund up, and it helped him get cured. And now he's sort of doing the same thing for other people who have difficulties, and he hit a brick wall. This really helps.
And he got Verve Pipe mixed up.
And it has always been my go-to charity.
And, cool. And felt like something fun, like going to a concert and your ticket pays
absolutely
for some of it.
Well, it's funny. I was reading about the show, and I was getting caught up in the, what's this fund? And I didn't really have a lot of information about the fund. I was like, it's just a Verve Pipe show, man.
I know.
I want to see Verve Pipe.
Right.
But,
well, that helps.
Charity. So I think the idea is that maybe more people go or have a little extra impetus if they know that money's going to a charity. But, it's kind of cool to just see Verve Pipe anyway.
True. And so all there. Goes into the same thing. So.
Yeah.
Yay.
So Brian will be along here shortly. So I need to tell you that you always hear our friends and studio sponsors, Zot Ford and DealsInD.com, talking about their fabulous new car deals. Maz and Gabar want to remind you Zot Ford and Holly's made ridiculous deals on pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, too. They have some ridiculous deals on them. Plus, with the power of DealsInD.com, you can almost have you can have your choice of 300 premium pre-owned vehicles. All of their pre-owned vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and certification process. This is to assure all Zot customers are getting the ultimate value to go along with their unmatched customer experience. So slide over to DealsInD.com and pick out the new or pre-owned vehicle of your dreams. They can really do all the math for you and show you what you can afford. Maybe you've got your own ideas. Then go see Tom Mazaway at Zot Ford and Holly. Hopefully not on a shoveling day.
Which is today.
Yes, it is.
If it's this light around here,
precipitating.
It's like a foot on Holly
easily,
by now.
Easily.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's, we've got, half an inch here? So that's probably 6 inches there. When it gets a complete inch, they'll be up to a full foot. Hey, purchase 3 Diva treatments for just $38.50, regularly $4,500. So you can take care of that for a savings of $650 and get a G-Shot free.
Whoa.
The G-Shot, by the way, is $1,200. These are people who are going to spice things up.
Nice.
You can read all about it, but I tell you, when you get a few women together talking about this stuff, it's a very spicy conversation.
Pretty sexy.
And very positive. So actually, overall there, you could save almost $2,000 with 3 Diva treatments and a free G-Shot.
Does this go in the butt?
$38.50. No, nothing is going in the butt there. This offer expires on the 11th. So today. Today being the 6th, that's always a good question. There's no bad questions when it comes to a G-shot or, or diva treatments.
I sounded very worried.
Yes. Regular $4,500, but just $3,850. So think of it this way. Three diva treatments and a G-shot for free. Regular $1,200. And the G-shot, yeah, that's for what you think it is.
And then you just
go in the butt?
No, Homer.
In the butt. Knock it off.
And you just go wild.
You're not listening to the answer. And, of course, they're doing all the other things they do with the holidays. And, you know, this is the time of year for these things. If you want to schedule something a little more involved, like lipo or body tight, because they do, they put you out for body tight, don't they?
Boy, I
Because they got to cook your skin. They got to go in there.
Yeah, I think maybe a local. I don't know. Maybe they do. No, I think I remember a conversation where he told me yes. I
believe that's the case.
Because it's unnerving to smell yourself.
Oh,
that might be. Yeah, you don't want to smell your skin cooking, although it has very good results.
I don't smell myself when my skin isn't cooking. Gross.
You smell delicious.
Yeah.
Then you've got the, of course, breast implants, boobs, always boobs, and liposuction, all the other things that people are scheduling for the holidays when they have a little time. 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110. And, yeah, that's it. Highest paid musicians of 2018. Point is, you know, it's funny how we keep hearing rock is dead, but then you look at this list and you go, rock is not, I guess classic rock isn't dead, I should say.
It's making some serious bank there.
My God, it's killing it. If you start from the bottom, let's see, Rolling Stones, 39 million. They didn't even do that many shows.
Yeah, basically, if you tour, you're on that list, regardless
pretty
of genre.
Much. Well, I mean, if you're one of those big classic rock bands and you do a couple, you know, 5-6 dates a month or something, you're going to make the list. Billy Joel, 43 million. Of course, he's got that regular date at Madison Square Garden once
a month.
Is
that all he does?
No, he's got, I think he's doing some other dates too, but he sells out Madison Square Garden every month.
Huh.
Chainsmokers at 45.5. Gross. Garth Brooks, 45.5. Who cares? Metallica, 46 million. Elton John, 46 million.
Garth Brooks, I know none of us would ever care about this in the million years, but he did that show at Notre Dame.
Sunday.
And it aired on Sunday. Did you see all the Beatles covers he did?
What Beatles covers did he do?
Hey Jude was a big one.
Garth Brooks?
Yeah, I was looking at the set list.
And the crowd was digging it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. Country.
Covers. Zach Brown is big on covers.
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, country music was like, hey, why don't we just do sort of a classic rock thing change it up a little, and they sort of, adopted it. And
people love covers. They've always loved covers. I mean, they love them on the charts. I'm always amazed there aren't more Beatle covers that young bands are doing now, because young people don't even may not know those songs.
He also covered
It's whole new.
Seeger songs.
Wow.
Oh, really?
That was interesting. But looking
what's
through
what Seeger songs, you know?
I'll read them to you in a sec. But reading through the set list, too, it says after a couple songs, multiple attempts to record crowd afterwards. Because it's really a made-for-TV concert.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah, it was annoying.
He did Night Moves.
Cool. Great song.
Did...
God, that's a great song.
Let's see. Oak Ridge Boys cover. Cool. Turn the Page.
Cool. American
Pie.
That song.
Covers that he did? Oh, he did Let It Be and Hey Jude.
Yeah, he does a mashup of a few different...
A mashup.
Oh, God.
No Chris Gaines covers.
No, I'm not happy.
It would have been great if he did a Chris Gaines cover.
The Beatles Channel played Rubber Soul this morning.
Did they?
It's the anniversary of Rubber Soul.
Nice.
That album really sounds contemporary now. Like, it's only Love and Girl and In My Life and I'm Looking Through You. And I don't know, those songs just... There's something very... contemporary about him.
It's a kick-ass album.
It is really good.
And that Garth Brooks special did really big ratings, too.
Hey,
happy.
HW funeral procession in Texas is going on. And
I thought they were replaying yesterday's funeral. That's today's funeral?
Yeah.
They're airing a second funeral on all the networks?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Really?
Oak Ridge Boys and Bonnie Raitt are his performers. Though.
Okay, they stepped it up a little bit. That's good.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's better than that crap they played yesterday, that religious stuff.
Why is he taking a train?
Oh, yeah, because...
He planned...
It's a crazy train.
Garth Brooks was 27th, Metallica 25th at 46 million, Elton John tied with Metallica, Foo Fighters, Jennifer Lopez, and Drake tied at 22nd.
I would expect Elton to be a little higher.
I would too, but you know, his tour started a little late in the year because he's busy now. Drake had a pretty busy year in the road. Paul McCartney's had some dates. He did 47.5 million. Calvin,
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
Think of how high Drake would be if parents allowed their kids to go see him.
I know. What did the Mazaways and their ilk cost Drake?
I think he'll be fine.
Calvin Harris at 48 million. Lady Gaga, 50. Buffett at 51. Luke Bryant, Pink, tied for 16th. Depeche Mode, 15.
Wow.
What? Yeah. I didn't even know they were on tour.
I know. You know, that's one of those bands that actually will be out there doing big numbers, I think, for years.
Really?
I think so. The Eagles, 56 million. I know. Enough of the Eagles. Cam, how do we snuff the Eagles out? Is there something?
One at a time.
Gone? I mean, that wasn't enough.
The fucking Eagles, man.
The Weeknd, Kendrick Lamar, Beyonce's 11th with 60 million. Diddy, 10th with 64 million. Roger Waters, 60. Roger Waters, 68 million. Wow. He does do a lot of shows. Guns N' Roses also had a lot of shows. They did 71 million. Jay-Z, 76.5. Taylor Swift, 80 in sixth place. Katy Perry, 5th.
Ah,
Bruno Mars, 4th. Ed Sheeran, 3rd. Coldplay.
Brutal.
Number 2 with 115 million. And U2, number 1 with 118 million.
It's because they played the whole Joshua Tree. That's that concert.
Hello.
Are we calling BBA? Or is he calling us?
He is calling us, according to his promoter.
Ark!
Come on, Ark.
All right. I didn't really do any Brian Vander Ark homework today. I feel kind of guilty. Oh. Like I cheated.
I don't need to do homework on him.
I don't think I do either. I know. See, Villains was 20 years. Okay, I've done my homework on the air. Villains' 20-year anniversary was last year, right?
We always do this when there's an early interview.
I know, it's true.
It's like a study group.
Kind of.
We're just one big study group.
Well, there are more people who are conscientious and study way in advance.
Oh, gross.
How much is Brian performing? He's performing a lot of shows himself, and then Verve Pipe's kind of a special event, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of the way it works. Like all singer-songwriters eventually shed their bands for certain for certain events where it's easier to pay one guy.
I know. I heard he was in L.A. I hope I'm not talking out of school, but it's like, ooh.
Hey.
Mm.
What is he doing there?
What's going on out there?
What's he doing out there?
There he is. Yay.
I believe he's calling in now.
Yeah, he should be making new music, honestly. He's doing a lot of things. He's got a lot of revenue streams, doing the kids' music thing.
Yeah,
that's working. Right.
And there's a little acting, and
yeah.
Of course there's the freshman, bringing him a monthly check, I suspect.
I wonder what he gets for office.
I know.
Did you see?
I think we have our first
Matt
question.
Matt Farley posted how much he made.
Matt Farley did?
Yeah, the toilet bowl cleaner guy.
Really?
I'll bring it up after we talk to Vander Ark.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm curious as to what the toilet bowl guy was thinking as well. I don't know why I have to be excluded from that conversation.
Oh, no. I actually know the truth is I have to find it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's start this over. This is off to a bad start.
Since you're interested, I'm finding it right now.
I have to explain.
Brian, do you know who Matt Farley is?
Matt Farley, Chris Farley's brother?
No, that's a great guess. But he's the most prolific songwriter in Guinness. He's written how many songs? 20,000 songs?
More than that. I think he's up to 40,000.
Yeah.
He's been on Tonight Show and stuff, and he writes really funny songs.
That's great.
I guarantee
he has. I always get a kick out of people who tell me that they've written, you know, I've got hundreds and hundreds of songs, and then, you know, none of them are really all that good. It's like, you know.
All of his are awesome.
Out of them, why don't you make like one really good song, like I did, one really good song.
So, but I don't know. Have you heard Scarlett Johansson farts?
He wrote a song.
That's a really good song.
He wrote a song for you.
I'm not.
Yeah, here's your song.
I loved it.
Brian,
I'd love to hear
Brian,
that.
Brian.
So far, it's so good.
Brian.
Wow.
Brian.
You're not gonna believe this. He wrote another one about you too.
My name is Brian, and I'm awesome. Everybody loves me, because I am awesome.
How many songwriters in this conversation have written a song about everyone in the room? Only Matt Farley can say that. But, you know, we were playing The Freshman when Brandon was bringing the phone up, and I was wondering, You know, I keep hearing about these guys losing all their royalties. Is the freshman, that must, I'm hoping that's a good revenue source for you still. It should be.
No, I got to tell you. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it is and tell you why it isn't. It is because I can go out and play it. I do a whole speaking series on it. You know, I go into financial institutions and I talk about the parallels between the music industry and the financial industry. These are things, these are reasons why it is good. Reasons that's bad is that we have, you know, 4 million streams in a 3-month period, and for that I got a check for $200.
Oh,
so
that's,
there's no money to be made, and you can't survive on that.
I'm not going to tell you what Matt Farley made then. His total earnings from streaming and MP3 downloads, $43,719. That's for the year 2018.
You see,
$2.26 a song.
I've always been impressed with people that can write thousands and thousands of songs. That's the way to go.
$24,000 of that, he said, were from custom-made songs. 20% of orders came from Michigan. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're,
no
we're
doubt.
Driving
hey,
sales.
You want to hear something? My son is really into this YouTube kid. I forget what his name is, but I don't know if you guys saw that. But the kid made like $22 million last year. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Oh, the unboxer kid.
Little videos.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What, nobody else's kid can open presents and play with toys and make it look fun? What's so special about this kid?
He wants to watch it all the time. That's all he wants to watch.
It's Ryan's Toy Review.
Ugh. Start blocking that.
I totally hate that kid.
Yeah, how do we? Can we start some movement against this kid, or is that too rude?
Because he's a kid.
Yeah, well, he's seven, but I don't know. It makes me mad. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, you guys are playing Rail Oak Music Theater, which is a great venue. And the whole Verve Pipe. How often does the whole Verve Pipe play versus just you?
The Verve Pipe plays more now. Last year we did about 50 shows. This year looks to be about 50. You know, we pretty much tour all over. You know, but solo shows for me, I do, you know, 30 or 40, and then I do, you know, 30 speaking gigs. So I'm on the road about 120 shows a year. I think most of that is split between the Verve Pipe and solo stuff.
Is there a singer-songwriter who has not done gigs without his band? It always happens eventually, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not knocking it at all.
You have to, because, you know, I've got to strap on the guitar and go to, if I got to strap on the guitar and go to a show, it's much easier for me to pull in, play the show, and get out and go to the next one. You know, with the Verve Pipe, you got a whole day of production, you know, and so it's easier to do solo shows for sure. Now, I prefer the bombast of the bass and the drums and the rocking out with the lights and the sound. I prefer that. So if I had my way, I would just do the Verve Pipe stuff, but you know, I can't survive on that either.
How do you like the way Verve Pipe sounds?
Not when I'm splitting it six ways.
You know? Yeah, there's always that part. That always enters the fray. But, you know, you guys played our gig, like, that was probably 95 or 96, or maybe it was 97 when Villains was out. And how do you like the way Verve Pipe sounds live now versus then? Is it the same to you, or is it better, different?
Oh, I think the songs are the same. I think we represent the, you know, the songs on Villains the same way we did back then. So I don't think that's changed at all, but I think that adding a few of the newer songs, you know, and the songs, you know, from 25 years of making music, that ends to be, I think the end game there is that it's a more entertaining show overall. You know, you've got more dynamics, you know, there's a song that's just me and the piano. There's a song, you know, that's, you know, four part harmonies, you know. A cappella, that kind of thing. So I think it's a more entertaining show now. That's about the only difference, though, I think.
When was the last time you didn't play The Freshman or Photograph in a set list?
I suspect Mark's looked it up, by the way.
No, I really wonder, because I don't know. I mean, I know you love the songs. You wrote them. They're great songs. They're going to resonate for years. But at the same time, you have to play them every night. I don't know how that balance works.
Oh, that's funny. The last time I did it was just the other night. We did my wife and I did a Christmas party, and we sang, you know, four or five Christmas songs. So, and that was the
that
real
counts.
Christmas, the real Christmas present for me was not having to play The Freshman. So that was a nice moment. No, I have to play. I mean, I have to play at every show, but you know, that's, that's always the point in the night where I know that, you know, that song resonated with a lot of people, and people appreciate it. And I know that that's a sure hit for the concert that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one where everybody's going to sing along. So we can, you know, you can play a brand new song right before it and get away with it. You know what I mean? And afterwards. So, you know, I always look down at the set list and I go, oh, sure, yeah, here's a song that nobody knows. It's 9 minutes long. But we can come back with the freshman, you know. So.
It's funny. I saw English Beat on a Monday night here, and he played Save It For Later, like the seventh song. And I was like, oh, sweet, I can leave a little early.
Right.
Because he got the big song in.
You know, we do the same thing. And because, you know, typically we put on 90-minute, two-hour shows, and a lot of times people don't want to, you know, the real fans want to hear it all, and the people that are just the fly-by-night fans, they want to hear the freshmen. So we'll put that 8 or 9 to the set as well. We do the same thing. I mean, that's the thinking there for me.
Well, I have been looking at your set list. Are you going to close with the closer? Because I don't think people want to miss. It's a cover song. I don't want to say what it is. Do you think you're going to close with it?
We've typically been closing with The Chain, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes
Fleetwood
we do
Mac.
That. Sometimes we do America by Simon and Garfunkel. Sometimes we do, yeah. I don't know. If anybody has a special request, we would definitely end it with The Chain. We haven't made the set list
yet. I'd like
yet,
to hear
but
The Chain.
Drew and Mike show request.
I love The Chain.
All right. I'll get the guys on it.
That's a great song.
And I also see that you've been covering The Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we do that as an acoustic thing, a very mellow, no cowbell type of thing.
That's what I was gonna ask.
So
it must freak people out, no cowbell.
Yeah, I know, believe me, we hear it the entire time.
You know, Villains has so many great songs, and you guys got some airplay. I always love Michigan Road Trip. Is it called Michigan Road Trip technically?
Which one is that? Oh, you talking about Veneer or are you?
Yeah, Veneer.
Veneer. Yep. That's a huge request for people. We typically play that every night too.
I was just wondering if there's a song that you thought, you know, the freshman shouldn't have been my big hit. It should have been blank, like Photograph or.
Yeah, I think, no, I don't really think that because I think the freshman was hands down the song from the very beginning of the band in 92 that everybody loved. But I was always surprised, you know, that some songs didn't go and do better than they did. I thought Cup of Tea would have been a pretty big hit song. And, you know, somebody told us, the hit makers told us, you know, Reverend Girl was a surefire hit. And we decided to go with Cup of Tea instead. And I always went, oh man, maybe if we would have went with Reverend Girl, but, you know, the fact is we have a handful of songs on that album that did pretty well for us. So I'm thankful.
And then, of course, the 9/11 album, the album that came out on 9/11. It was a real screw job.
Yeah, it was a tough one. No, it was a tough one. Yep.
I thought about you. I was reading about Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was supposed to come out 9/11, but they were having problems with the record company. So they bought the masters, I guess, and it didn't come out that day. So it came out, I think, a couple months later, and of course, it did very well.
Wow. Sorry to tell you.
Listen, there were a lot of albums that came out on 9/11 that did really well. You know, I remember the Tenacious D album came out, and it was amazing. And that came out the same day as they did. Ours did. You know, it's just the way, you know, it's like through some fault of our own and through no fault of our own, things happen, and you have to just take your lumps and go forward, you know.
How's the rest of the band doing? I know, you know, playing 50 dates, they got probably got to do other stuff. Do they have real jobs?
Nobody's really got a real job.
Oh, that's great.
If you're talking about like working at the airport or something,
well, kind of
like that. But they all work. You know, there's that graveyard of musicians that work at Guitar Center. You know, that seems to be the move.
Yeah,
so
that
you
makes
can
sense.
Always get you can always find what you need from an ex band member that you know works at Guitar Center. My guys all play in other bands, though. Everybody plays in bands. It does, you know, everybody at this point when you're our age, you know, you do it for fun. And, I don't think anybody could hold a job at, you know, at a Meyer or something.
Yeah, that would, musicians aren't too good at that stuff. But I always find it great when a band, you know, like yours, and you did have a great success and you're still playing, when everybody can work in music and make a living, it's pretty damn cool.
It's great. I mean, it's a fantastic thing that, you know, I'm able to make a living and be able to send my kids to a good school and live in a nice house, and I get to play music every day. I mean, I'm on my way to play a show today, you know, so I'm thrilled, man. I'm a very fortunate man, for sure.
Where's today's gig?
I'm playing up in Appleton, Wisconsin. I've got a show there tonight and then a show in Door County tomorrow night, and then we come and play Royal Oak on Saturday.
Wow. Now, your voice won't be ravaged by Saturday, will it?
No. Come on. I do 5 shows a week at least.
Oh, my God.
You know, it doesn't bother me at all.
Huh.
Yeah, some of these guys, they play every third night or what. Of course, they, you know, maybe it's the Stones or McCartney or whatever. They're a little older.
It's better to play consistently, too. I think any throat person will tell you that. Because, you know, your throat's a muscle, and I keep it exercised pretty much every day. So for me, it's never really been an issue.
Well,
now watch, I've totally jinxed myself for tonight's show.
You have a fantastic voice. I love hearing you sing, and looking forward to Saturday. I might wander over there myself, and it's for charity too. What's the charity? What's the charity? Or
it's Fund of Life.
Fund a Life,
Fund
as a matter of fact.
Fund
so this is
a
called
life.
Concert. Fund a Life, yes,
right.
Concert for a Cause. I'm also donating a house concert to the highest bidder. That's going on as well, and I think you can. I think you could bid that night, so it'll be a great night.
Well, you do a lot of those. Do those usually turn out pretty well?
House concerts?
Yeah.
Oh man, I do. Yeah, like most of my solo shows are house concerts. The first year I did like 50 in the summer, and then the next year I did like 110, going one to the next to the next. I do 3 or 4 on a Saturday alone. Yeah,
Are there any limitations? Like, can you perform in a like duplex or apartment?
I've performed in a duplex. I performed for as little as 2 people. One time it was a couple. I'll tell you the story really quick. It was a couple. It was their 3rd anniversary. They had a baby. They loved live music. They couldn't get out. They had grandma take the baby for a couple hours. They took the dining room table. They put it in the living room, in this cute little living room. And then they ate a candlelit dinner for their anniversary while I sat and sang love songs for an hour. It sounds kind of creepy now that I
Yeah,
say
yeah, kind of. I hope they weren't swingers.
And you joined them after.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, Royal Oak Music.
That'd be an extra charge.
Royal Oak Music Theater, Saturday night, The Verve Pipe. Great to have you guys around, and always great to talk to you, Brian.
Always great to talk to you guys, too. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet.
We'll see you Saturday.
We'll see you guys.
Very cool. Thanks.
There's the chain.
Those leather pants?
I don't know. Get it back on the horn. Are they leather pants?
Right. Brian is a stud. He's an outright turd. You know Brian.
I wanted to ask because, you know, he did a bunch of acting.
Hot.
Yeah.
And then he did an album with Jeff Daniels and Ben Daniels.
That's right.
And I'm like, why don't you, now that you, he did your help, you helped him with music, why hasn't he been doing another show, another movie? Maybe he doesn't want to do it.
I would have thought Brian would have done well in acting. I think he just sort of dabbled in it.
Yeah.
He's got just a fantastic voice.
To bid for him to play this show.
It's not a bad idea.
To the basement.
It's a good song for them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think The Chain was my favorite song off of Rumors, which is Rumors is one of the best albums ever.
What is that venue?
The City Winery in Atlanta.
He does. He plays all over, all the time. And he does. You see him on YouTube in somebody's garage doing a gig.
Wow.
Can you guess what song this is?
Is that Don't Fear the Reaper?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I like it.
No, it reminds me of when they came in the studio. I did Photograph on the little Casio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very lo-fi, yeah.
All the time.
suffers without the cowbell.
I like it.
No, I like it, but cowbell.
Yeah, I like the intro. It was really good. He can sing anything.
Great band that.
Brian seemed like one of those guys that, it, you know, he is definitely a bad magnet, but he's not a dick about it at all. He seems very centered
very
for
grounded.
All of his talents.
And he stayed very svelte.
Yeah. No, really, we've talked about it. You know, of all the great Michigan talent and music, the 90s, there's Kid Rock, there's Sponge, there's Verve Pipe.
Eminem?
Yeah,
go
Eminem.
Back to the 90s!
Yeah, I guess what year does
Did
Eminem...
Did you mention White Stripes?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's funny.
There's a bunch of other bands, too.
Why do I not think of them as being a Detroit band when they so clearly are? Yeah. I don't know why in my... That's just in my head.
It hits me about a third of the time. I don't know. It's really weird. I saw him at the Red Sox game. I was like, oh, Jack White from the White Stripes. I didn't think
not
of, like,
Detroit
our guy,
but he
Jack
clearly
White.
Is.
I know. But he hated us. So. That makes me...
I think Riff was a little light on playing them, too.
Yeah,
back in the day.
I think he probably hated Riff.
Why? That wasn't our fault.
Why didn't Riff champion bands in Detroit before they were... I mean,
Well, the one they truly, truly did was Kid Rock.
But the White Stripes made so much more sense.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
Right.
They picked the good one.
But, you know, in Boston, there were people championing Aerosmith and Jay Giles and the Cars, you know, WBCN. They mentioned them in their Hall of Fame speeches.
Maybe Riff had to choose between White Stripes and the Von Bondies, and they chose wrong.
You know what? They didn't play the Von Bondies either. The Von Bondies.
The one song a lot.
Von Bondies were good.
Until the dust up.
I wanted to have the Von Bondies on the morning show because I'd heard the record and I liked it, and they're like,
oh no, God, no. No, no, no.
And then Jack White beat the hell out of the Jason Stahlsteimer, and that was the end of that.
Jack's solo albums are so much better than the White Stripes, too. So by a mile, man. No one listens to him, I guess.
Don't you love
how... It's funny what a brand does.
I love how when silly. Programmers are wrong, they never say that they...
No, you just say...
Sorry, I was wrong.
It didn't test well. It's the holiday season where people and families come together and wishes come true. That's why Hoop McInerney Starling and celebrates the season by hosting the annual Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event at Star. The amazing prices will make America's premier luxury car feel like it's their gift to you. What a lineup of SUVs they have. They have the MKC, the brand new Nautilus full of tech, and of course, the Navigator. It is 2018 North American Truck of the Year. Plus, there's the legendary Continental in the sedan that I drive, the MKZ, if you want to be like me.
Yeah.
My lazy eye. 'Tis the season where Detroit's most accommodating and knowledgeable sales team connects you to the car of your dreams. Just call our very own Jimmy D at 855-567-STAR or email him jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Be a part of the Lincoln legend. Come see Star's beautifully remodeled showroom because it's the perfect environment to shop, test drive, and take home the Star of American luxury cars. The Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event runs through Sunday, January 2nd. It's at Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Was that Matt Jennings who isolated your lazy eye?
I know, it was.
It was a cross-eye, too.
The comments were very nice, too. Thank you, everybody.
For God's sake, don't touch your eyes.
Julie's sick of me talking about my lazy eye.
Matt sent me an email, a very thoughtful one, about his friend Amber, whose mom... I just went through a double mastectomy.
And
she's a big, big, big fan. We're keeping her company while she's recuperating. And so, you know, sending good energy out to her. She's really fighting that fight against breast cancer. And also sending apologies. Sad about Mike. But
what's her name?
Her name is Bridget Campbell. And her daughter is a friend of Matt's, Amber. So...
Oh, jeez.
All your boy T-Maz ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout-out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity. How's your grandma? Friend of the show. You're related. You're not related. He just met you. You like Seinfeld. You like big girls. Two Mandy Moores. You sent a t-shirt. Who's gonna ship it? It's not a sports podcast.
Was a shout-out. A good one.
Make her feel better, though.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, Matt's got a good heart. And
yeah, he does.
He's the right guy to edit Soft Magazine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's got a soft heart.
Self very soft, yes.
It's a soft touch.
He's being mean.
So, Bridget, get better.
Yes, please.
Get better.
Is it possible you get life-changing eye surgery without having to dip into your bank account?
Yes. Can he fix my lazy eye?
Maybe.
I don't have a lazy eye.
Maybe you should have an examination.
I do.
Many of you have what's called a Flex account or health savings account, which means that unspent money for 2018 could disappear if you don't use it by the end of the year.
What? How do you find out if you have that?
Call Eli Zaret. If so, call the LOI Center. I bet you they'd help you figure it out.
Sure.
And put that money to good use. That'll benefit you for the rest of your life. Custom LASIK from Dr. Yalda will free you from your expensive and annoying contacts, will give you better vision than you ever had with glasses, and if you have reading issues, it'll solve them too. Nobody in Michigan can match Dr. Yalda's experience and surgical precision. And for those of you 50 or older, Dr. Yalda will show you what those incredible multifocal lens implants can do for you. The technology produces stunning, time-lasting vision at all lengths. You'll read the tiny print and be amazed. Finding out your best option costs nothing. Get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to theyaldaeyecenter.com. Go to yaldaeyecenter.com. Yeah, there.
Hey.
What's the stock market still down 1,000,000 points?
Yeah.
Ugh. What happened?
1,000,000 points.
What happened?
That's crazy.
It's just
China.
Arbitrarily.
China.
Oh.
Oh, well, we arrested the CFO of
Huawei.
Canada arrested her, extradited her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's breaking the rules with the RAN, that sneaky Chinese lady.
What did
she
do?
Why does everything else suck? Why does it ruin everything else?
I know. That's a good question.
I don't blame China.
It is amazing the things that, well, you go, oh my God, now what happened? And it's some, you know, some stupid thing. Well, really, it's that?
But it's not. It's always a billion things.
Well, Facebook got whacked. I wonder if,
What a shame.
I wonder if Facebook's really in trouble because, you know, I'm reading this morning, well, Facebook's value is down $9.5 billion. I'm like, oh my God, but it's still worth $370 billion. Like,
there's is it because of the talk about Zucks getting kicked out?
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Which, wouldn't that be a good thing?
I know. Isn't it amazing that these genius young entrepreneurs just can blow it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at Elon Musk.
Well, yeah, they must think they're unstoppable or untouchable.
And look at what's going on at Google. Oh!
Did you see South Park with Jeff Bezos?
Oh, my God, that was
horrible. As the giant-headed alien.
Let me cue it up.
this sounds funny.
Their interpretation of Bezos was dead on. That was a great episode last night.
Was that the finale?
Was it?
Yeah, I think they do 10 per season. So
really? It looked like they were going to, it was almost a to be continued.
That's what I thought.
That could be the case.
It was called, yeah, it has to be, because the way it ended, Trudy.
Yes.
I didn't see it.
I'm amazed, and I have hatred for Jeff Bezos. I'm amazed by him, and I have hatred for him. I mean, he's the most successful person in the world.
He's,
of course,
amazing.
You have to respect that. Yeah. But then, you know, when you see he made $178 billion and paid $900 million in taxes, I just go, you know, that just pisses me off.
I'd do the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, then I will hate you too.
Okay, you would do the same thing.
I'm sure I would.
He didn't make the rule.
I hate myself. No, I know, but I can't help hating him for not paying any taxes and for pulling this maneuver where they have this giant write-off.
Yeah.
I guess that makes him smart, so I shouldn't hate him, but I will anyway.
The whole thing is around the Amazon fulfillment centers, and they wrote a kick-ass song. Well, kind of a sad one, though, about unfulfilled working off of that whole fulfillment center idea.
Their description and interpretation of the malls today was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
The boys go to the mall and there's no one there except for a few stragglers.
Has anyone been to the mall yet this Christmas season?
No. God, no. Yeah.
Randon?
No.
Not the mall, no.
Just
no,
Maz.
Joey, no.
I'm sure Maz has been to the mall.
Do you think?
Oh, he loves it. He loves shopping.
Yeah. Well, I do know people who like going to the mall. Oh, Kristen, did she go on Black Friday?
Yeah,
no, she couldn't, could she?
She did.
She did.
Yeah, I don't think she went to the mall though, or she might have went to Somerset. I'm not sure. She really either goes to Somerset.
It's on a mall.
I don't
She's
know.
She's out of the house. That's all I know.
I have no idea where she went.
Was playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
It might have been
bye, honey.
Target or something.
It was all noise to him.
Brandon, I'm doing this. Bye. Here's Bezos. Or Bezos.
Wah. Okay, honey.
Ship to address.
Everybody uses now. Amazon and hates it simultaneously on the show.
4 to 6 weeks. I can make my own towels in 4 to 6 weeks.
That's the mayor.
Mayor, you have a visitor.
Not now, I'm having problems.
But mayor, it's Jeff Bezos.
Founder and CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
Okay, let him in.
Right on through here, Mr. Bezos.
He looks like a Twilight Zone monster.
Yeah. Mr. Bezos, great to see
the
you
Mars
again.
Attacks characters? Remember
yes.
the Mars Attacks?
Yeah, and Star Trek.
How have you been?
Watch how he talks, Audrey.
I wish I was doing better. Please, Mayor, have a seat.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't even open his
telepathically.
No, yeah.
I guess you're here because of the strike?
We had a deal, Mayor. You told me this town would be the perfect place for one of our fulfillment centers.
And it has been. It gave so many people jobs, and I'm not really sure why everyone is so...
disgruntled, dissatisfied, unamused. Would you like to know why Amazon is so successful? Because the customer is all that matters. Now orders are going unfulfilled all over the state of Colorado. That makes us look very bad. It makes you look very bad. Perhaps you should no longer be a Prime member.
Please, I'm trying to get everyone back to work. I'm going to do everything that I can.
Then we have an understanding. Goodbye, Mayor. If everyone stays unfulfilled, it will be you who pays the price.
The head is...
the back of his head has an ass.
It's a butt, yeah. But all those aliens, though, back in the old-timey sci-fi, look like that with giant butt heads.
I didn't know that.
In the back.
But it's just funny how he talks about it. All the customers, all that matters, because everybody uses it, yet the people working there use it and hate them, too, because they're the employees.
Yeah. Well, I like how he speaks, but his face makes all of these different expressions.
Yes, but
his mouth doesn't move.
I have to admit, you know, normally with workers and with anybody in a job that doesn't treat you right, my feeling is always, go get another job. Get some skills, get another job. Don't expect, because you should treat me better, that people will, especially when you're young.
Yeah.
But with Amazon, honestly, when I saw the story about them raising the wage to, was it $15?
Yeah.
Right.
I was kind of sick about that. Like, really? You made $178 billion last year. You paid $900 million in taxes, and you're paying $15, and you're asking me to pat you on the back? Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but didn't they get rid of bonuses?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they killed them all.
It wasn't really a big raise after all.
Rather have them pay wages than bonuses.
I mean, you would think they would be a place that would take care of people. You would think. You would think.
I wouldn't think that.
I guess, you know, maybe
was
anybody I'm just expect, crazy naive.
Why would anybody expect any publicly traded company to take care of their employees?
Well, this is what, you know.
Hire more.
When we got all these new young entrepreneurs, the Zuckerbergs, the Bezos, these people, I mean, honestly, the publicity about them, the way they were portrayed in the media, and I realize that the media is not always to be believed, was very positive.
They're
brilliant. They're evolved. Exactly. Yes. They care about people.
Right.
And then when you find out that, they're like the robber barons. They're like the Vanderbilts and all the assholes from the Industrial Revolution. They're just as bad.
Zuckerberg was always an asshole, though.
Well, yeah. Facebook will do anything to eliminate humans. They will do
Every company is. If it makes them more efficient.
Well, some more than others.
Oh, please.
Oh, well, yes. Believe me.
The thing that caused the strike is that Bezos has it too automated, and it like killed a guy. Well, it didn't kill him, but he ended up being in an Amazon box.
He had to speak in the box because if they opened it, his guts would
organs.
Fly.
Oh, sweet.
Here's another great scene. This is a worker.
Just come out with it, then. We're not Amazon Prime members anymore.
They knocked them down.
Then what are we?
Everyone involved in the strike has been dropped down one level from Prime. We're now Amazon USDA Choice.
That's fine. We'll be USDA Choice. It's almost as good as Prime.
You're a good woman for saying that. But you're a bitch because it's a lie and you're patronizing me.
I love that line. I don't know why.
Yeah, the whole thing, the threat is to be made less than prime.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's got $150 billion, and much like Musk, he's got his own space company called, was it, Blue Origin?
Oh, that's
a stupid name.
Blue Origin.
Why doesn't a guy like him just go in with Musk and say, let's, you know, both throw our money at one space company instead?
Yeah.
I guess competition's good, baby. But, I mean, when it comes to space, don't you want to get shit done?
Yeah.
Well, didn't it originally start as a competition because there was a prize to who could get there first? But now that's over.
He's also spending his $150 billion fortune on real estate. Where the hell is it? What is he buying up?
Everything.
Oh, the real estate market dives!
Yeah.
Even though it'll destroy me, too.
He'll be so hurt by it. That's the thing. Nothing's going to hurt him.
I know.
He's untouchable now.
You know, and Facebook, God, how much bad publicity can Facebook have in one short period? It's almost incredible. Not to mention the fact that they have no idea what they're publishing. They have absolutely no idea. They run commercials in front of white supremacy stuff. I mean, honest to God, it's like, and this is the company that can't bear to hire more people to oversee this. You know, if it's not done with an algorithm, forget it. It just doesn't get done.
That's my new favorite corporate buzzword in the new world of technology is, well, we're going to recalibrate our algorithm.
I know.
As if everybody knows what goes into recalibrating an algorithm. They can make it do whatever they want it to do.
Well,
it's a scapegoat.
They can't. No, they blame the algorithm. It's easy to blame the fucking algorithm.
Nobody understands
it. God damn it.
Because the algorithm can't go to prison. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's not doing what we want it to do. It's like that.
What is he, a robot? It's just amazing to me that you can publish, you know, and of course, anybody who looks at it goes, oh my God, well, they're publishing so much shit. How could they possibly know what they're publishing? But they are publishing stuff that gets millions of views and brings these horrible people together, and then they blame it on an algorithm.
And take it to the bank.
Yes, and take it to the bank.
Jeez.
And run ads in front of the shit.
Yeah.
And they don't even know until somebody goes, we really don't want our Ford commercial in front of that KKK piece you ran.
Oh, okay,
there.
We will recalibrate our algorithm.
We'll recalibrate the algorithm. Never happen again.
I don't even have a fucking computer.
That's like that story I was showing you, the ASMR people on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
That do all the weird sounds. That's fucking weird. But YouTube was basically like, we think that's sexual. We're de-advertising you. At the point when they make most of their money on advertising.
The people that whisper people to sleep and tap on, you know, make noises to help people go to sleep. And they get removed from YouTube. Oh, the algorithm did it.
But then a person looks at it and goes, no, that's not sexual. You can be re-monetized. After their earning potential, the highest point of their earning potential is gone.
Ugh.
It's such a scam.
Wow.
I don't know why they do that.
Because they can. Mm-hmm. Because they're the all-powerful YouTube.
They need to recalibrate their algorithm.
And this was the episode 9, so we have one more episode this season of South Park.
Okay.
Yeah, the way it ended, it seemed like there was a... To be continued.
Hey, shouldn't somebody be smoking a joint in here today?
Oh. I mean,
wouldn't that be the stunt of the century to smoke a joint on your radio show?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Everyone go, out of the dual box hall, they smoked a joint on the first day of Nicholas Park.
It's going to remain taboo for a while.
XYZ was, where were they?
They were live somewhere this morning.
Live at a dispensary, I think.
Well, Bonds would be puffing on a doobie.
For sure.
Well, because smoking inside is still legal in this little movie.
Hey, can you or can't you do it on your front porch or back porch?
No one knows.
Of course, it's legal. How can they say you can't do it on your front porch? It's your property.
They said, is that true? Right, Trudy?
Yeah, they said you could.
You can't smoke it outside. You have to be inside.
You could. They said you could do it on your back porch, but isn't that a
hair? Why not on your front porch? Is that in the law?
I have one on the side of my house. What about my side porch?
Will you please Google where can you smoke pot in
Michigan
legally?
Well, let's watch that story again. I'll cue it up. I love how they're acting like because now it's legal today's the day that so many more people are going to be smoking.
I know,
it's like when a person turns 21 and they can finally drink.
Well, they do seem to drink a lot in their 21st birthdays.
Should not we call Tommy Chong? Didn't he kind of in part make this happen?
Yeah, that's spearhead not a bad idea. The Chongster's always
his
fun.
Phone number, right?
Yeah, we got Tommy's number. Let me take
care
of this.
Here's the list when you're done with that.
Okay. We all know the best way to support the Drew and Mike podcast is supporting our sponsors and good friends, DealsInTheD.com and the entire Zot Auto Group, who want to give you more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting our podcast. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota. Make buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, exciting, and hassle-free. Plus, they have massive inventories full of the hottest models, and they're all ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto also has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and best interest rates, period. So head to any of the Zot dealerships, pick up your next vehicle, have fun doing it. Be sure to tell them we sent you there. And if you are too lazy to get off the couch, DealsInTheD.com has all the deals, all the inventory, all the information you need to make a decision. And they've got massive inventory right now, so check it out. And then retirement is fast approaching for many of us, but deciding exactly when to retire can be a daunting task. You don't have to do it alone. Luke can help you determine if you can say, I can do that, like our friend Derek, mm-hmm. or I don't know how to do that, like our friend Derek. By the way, Luke has some money of mine to invest. Not a giant amount. Full disclosure. I'm not going to disclose the amount, but it makes it sound bigger. He said yesterday, I'm plunging in the market tomorrow because I think the market's going to go down again tomorrow.
See you on Friday.
And then it did.
And neither one of us are big on, I mean, market timing is generally not something you want to try to do, but it looks like he got really lucky because the market's, you know, because you buy today, you get the price at the end of the day, right, for mutuals.
Right.
I can do that.
Yeah.
You know what he did?
Pulled a good move.
He looked at my homeowner's insurance, and he goes, I think you're over-insuring you, charging you more than you need.
Whoa.
And
I know he got it. When did he start getting into all this stuff?
I know. Well, I mean, that's kind of one of the things. He'll sort of order you all up. And when I when I talked to him today, they're like, maybe we are.
Well, maybe I should talk to him since I've...
First denial, and then they sent me an email, and it was like, okay, well, we'll...
Since I found out this house was without insurance, maybe I should talk to Luke. I got to tell you, I'm playing a winning hand with not insuring things lately. I think insurance is way overrated. I went 6 months without car insurance. My house was uninsured for a good while. Mm-hmm. Saved a lot of money. How often do you make a claim? Think of all the money you've spent on premiums all your life. I mean, roll the dice. Somebody ought to be rolling the dice out there just to see how it works.
I know.
Let it be me.
I want to do that.
Anyway, I was talking about Luke Nowacki. It's not ideal to have to work 10 hours a day through retirement. Call Luke today at 248-663-4748 for a complimentary consultation to discuss your retirement plans regardless of where you are in the process. And he's helped people with health insurance, home insurance, all kinds of things. And if he thinks you should roll the dice and not have insurance, he'll probably tell you that too. Although I don't think he'll say that.
Unlikely.
Security investment.
Look how it's worked for Drew.
Yes. So far, so good. Security Investment Advisory Service offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned and other entities and our marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Is there a song called No Filter? Something about a filter we could play for Eli?
Oh. Instead of Eli's
coming. Eli's coming.
We could play the band filter.
Yeah. Pretty hard to book.
Yeah, Hey Guy, Nice Shot.
Nice Shot.
Hey
Guy. I'm not sure that'll
play. Oh, here's one from your favorite artist. We'll just play this one. Chris Brown.
Great guy.
Man.
You think he'll like this?
I can't believe there's a Chris Brown song playing. Yeah!
This juice got me loose. Ain't no use to holding tongue. It's on a run. Slurring words.
Eli will love this.
Well, the intro is pretty good for a show called No Filter.
What did he say Eli was short for?
Elias.
That reminds me. I was watching the...
Eli.
There you go.
Eli.
It doesn't work.
It's good.
I was watching the girl who was one of the two girls that broke up Offset and Cardi B.
Oh, her crying. Oh, yeah. Bad crying face, by the way.
It's hysterical because Offset, 2 weeks before Cardi B's to give birth to their child, she busts him. He's trying to have a three-way with two other women. She doesn't even make the three-way cut.
She's pregnant.
Well, yeah, she was pregnant. That's true. That's what she said. You're pregnant. You can't have sex. What am I supposed to do?
He's doing her a favor.
So anyway, you want to bring up the girl on TMZ explaining?
Does she have a cool name like Cardi B or Offset?
No, she, Bunny somebody. Bunny somebody.
That's a great name.
Bunny Sumner. And
do you want me to pull it up? I'm sorry.
Well, anybody. Doesn't matter.
What's up, Doc?
What's this dope's name? Cuban Doll and Summer Bunny.
What? Those aren't women. Names.
And by the way, they were kind of gross looking.
So that's what Offset likes.
I have not messed with Offset since he's had his baby.
What?
You got a name that's not a name.
I didn't know how serious this marriage was.
How serious this marriage was?
You know, I kind of really? Read, I kind of see things, but I haven't, like, it took until today to actually, like, get into this.
Sorry, not sorry.
Seeing everything. You know, a lot of girls will just deal with this situation and just be like, yo, like, I took Cardi B's nigga, or I'm the reason that they're getting a divorce or anything. Like, I feel ashamed.
Who gives a fuck?
You know, like, growing
bad
up.
Bad crying face.
It's a lot. But just coming from me and like
neither of us have suffered goddamn bit.
She crying.
The entire situation. These were never my intentions, and I never wanted to break up a happy home to the cause of someone just saying like fuck it to get a divorce.
What are you talking about,
like
lady?
No, she started dreamweavering me after she.
But
she
would said like she, her to know that.
At least she's using her turn signal.
I'm a very genuine person. And
oh, Cardi B will be glad to know you're a genuine person. That's going to make her feel better.
Does it kind of ruin the apology when you're doing it in a car with the turn signal?
I always find it weird how
she's a multitasker.
How many selfies?
I'm so busy that I need to do my apology while I'm driving.
I'm so busy setting up three ways and apologizing.
That's multitasking.
What a joke.
I tell you what, bitch, come join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of look, and we can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak. But we're going to be some broke bitches.
But isn't it incredible that she could actually spit out the words, I didn't realize the marriage was that serious? Well, you wouldn't realize it because the husband wants to have a three-way with you.
So what she has going on with her husband. And I'm very sorry that this has happened. And
jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Is this really a play for her to get her name out there?
As the young lady.
I'll remember Summer Bunny.
No, but now we know who she is. Is she going to be something now?
Maybe. If she shoots somebody, it would make her bigger.
What if she shoots Cardi B?
So I sell some records. With this, she can actually just focus
For heaven's sakes.
What is she? Does she have an Instagram or something?
I don't know. She's probably some. That's a good question. I don't know.
Is she going to be on Cameo?
I just knew she was someone I didn't care about. That's the only thing I knew. I didn't really know what she did, other than that she tried to have a three-way with. Maybe she did have a three-way with Offset. I guess they did.
Let's see. She's on Twitter. That's fun. Hmm.
But, you know, when I see a story like this, because I'm looking at they had the slutty pictures of the two girls who wanted to have the three-way, and then they had slutty pictures of Cardi B. And then there's a picture of him doing I don't know what. And everybody just looks so damn slutty in the whole thing. Even Cardi B, because of the picture they used.
Nice.
I was thinking, does it drive regular women crazy, all these slutty, that being a slut is so effective and popular?
Yeah, it does.
I would think it would drive. Nice. I mean, in when we're supposed to be so sensitive about everything, you know, about body shaming, things like that. And here these sluts going, yeah, look at me, spread my legs, woo!
Nice. Yeah. That's empowerment.
Banging your husband, I didn't know you were so seriously married. And it's like, oh my God, look at her Instagram, she's got a million followers. And she's doing posts now for 50 grand.
Did you see that story about how much they make, the influencers?
Which ones?
That's a brand new one, about how much they made this year.
Well, you know, this fucking kid opening presents. I do. I want to attack the 7-year-old. I want to take him down.
D-Pants have been putting on YouTube?
Yes, yes.
On his channel?
I want to get together with Billy Gilman. First, I'm going to apologize to Gilman for wanting to pants him for so many years. And we're going to go
and
to pants
say,
that
And he'll say, it's okay. It's what got me out of the closet.
That was only for wearing leather pants, though, right?
Yeah, it was 11 wearing leather pants.
He said that was good. It detracted people from my teeth.
The ridiculous amount Instagram models are paid to promote products on social media, with Tammy Hembrow. I don't know who the fuck that is.
She's just another. That's the thing, though. They're a dime.
Oh, I saw her in.
They're a dime a dozen.
Earning $45,000 a month from just one brand. Tammy Hembrow, 24, is Australia's biggest earner. Now, she's got to be a slut, right? She's got a social media slut.
Yeah,
is your body splayed out every minute?
Yeah, there's a picture of her. It's Instagram.
There's a new slutty picture of her every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And people keep liking it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it
probably
weird?
Dudes who aren't going to buy the product she's pitching.
I know, exactly.
What's her name again?
Tammy Hembrow, H-E-M-B-R-O-W. By the way, a new slutty picture of somebody every hour? Is that really?
No, they're a dime a dozen.
Do people want notifications for that? And go, oh, like... I mean, doesn't it get a little old to see a slutty picture of the same person every
stupid picture
hour?
She's pretty hot.
Brandon wants one.
But honestly, is she any hotter or less hotter than...
I know, they're all kind of hot. I mean, they're all pretty hot.
I mean, she is hot. Oh, God. You guess which one I just saw?
Oh, the pregnant one? Gross. Oh,
I was going to say the one with her kids and seeing Santa.
Oh my God, that's got to have, it must have far less likes than the other ones.
Let's see, it has,
she is pretty hot.
300 and about 40,000 likes for her kids seeing Santa.
And what is her normal
slutty
picture?
The most recent
picture.
One where she's in a bikini. Well, that was 9 hours ago. Let's choose the one right after it. That one had only 180,000, so.
Oh, so they like the children with Santa. So if she just did little harmless pictures with children, she'd have more likes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Although her last bikini video has 1.5.
Oh, of course. Social analytics website Influencer Fee, which approximates Instagram users' worth by analyzing their level of interaction and the amount of followers they have, offers a fascinating insight into how much money there is to be made on social media.
I think some of these advertisers are going to realize that they're not getting quite the return on investment.
Well, remember the...
Because notice, it's
the
brands.
Influencers on YouTube were doing the 7-second ads, yeah. And they were the wacky 18-year-olds who had 12-year-olds watching their wacky stunts.
Yeah, a lot of purchasing power from a 12-year-old.
But they quickly determined that was a big, fat waste of money.
But the brands you see doing this, or at least the ones I see, or whenever these stories pop up, are like protein shakes or diet or cosmetics. I'm not a woman, so that's not real. Where are the big brands? Where are the... Budweiser's and Ford's, and where are the big AT&T? Why aren't they buying influencers, or are they? I'm not seeing them. Where's Home Depot? Do they pay an influencer?
Well, if you follow a Kardashian...
How to make a Home Depot influencer sexy, though.
Bob Vila. Chip and Joanna Gaines. You know?
If you follow a Kardashian, you'll see that their social media is mostly plug, 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 and I don't understand it. I'm like, why is that fun to follow that?
I know. It's like watching the ads of a TV show.
Right. Just the ads. Yeah. Nothing but the ads. So I don't understand it. I don't understand how it can be so effective either.
By the way, real quick, while we were going over some of these, I went to one of Ryan's toy reviews. And it's just a stupid video of him playing on a bouncy house.
I want to take that kid out so bad.
Look how many views. 1.6 billion.
Why?
That's not even million.
Oh, please depants him, Drew. Unpack his penis.
I'm already plotting.
I found Spider-Man.
Yeah, I want to take that Spider-Man away from you. You fuck, you have $22 million.
I don't know.
Now, advertising with this brat probably works really well because kids seeing, hey, where's that toy? Was someone peeing in there?
How do you get...
I've seen kids play more interestingly than this kid. Why is he such a hot play kid?
1.6 billion. That's insane.
He's got the best toys.
He's got over a million downvotes.
Does he have to? He has to pay taxes on all this.
Oh yeah,
his parents do.
Oh yeah, his parents have 3 million followers too. The family has 3 million followers. He has 17.5 million. The family, all the family together, only has 3 million. So he dwarfs his own family.
Oh, God, I hate these people.
And I hate them for having a following too.
Yes.
Like, fuck you! You leeching off your brat. Who I'm taking out. I'm death threatening that kid. Sending him death threats. You can send a death threat to anyone.
Oh, I bet.
Nobody does anything.
Get in line. I bet you there's tons already. What are some of the comments on there? So there's got to be some really shitty comments.
I hope so. And I hope he reads them.
What was our comment?
I just downvoted it. I didn't comment. Oh, but, wow, your YouTube videos nowadays really went downhill.
Let's
see. 1.6 billion views. People are surprised by how many views there are. Almost 1/7 of the entire human race has watched this video.
Gosh. No, that's not true. Idiots probably watched it 3,000 times or 4,000 times.
I really want to get a bouncy castle like that. I came here from Forbes. I came here from the inside.
Shut up. Came here from Forbes.
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
What? There's a 5-year-old reading Forbes?
Here's one. I have lost faith in the human race.
That's you.
That's got to be me. I must have posted that and forgotten.
Did you see the top YouTube videos of the year? CBS ran them down.
Oh, no.
You're going to hate every one of them.
Oh, no.
Cuba Good at number 5 is the... remember Yanni or Laurel?
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's the video that explains it with science. That was the number 5th.
That was awesome.
Oh, boy.
Number 4 is the fucking yodeling kid.
Oh, that kid.
What? That's the other one.
Laurel.
Deep hands him, too.
Or yes. Laurel.
Laurel.
Shut up.
Laurel.
Whatever.
I hear Laurel, Laurel. By the
47%
way.
Of people
really?
Hear
all
Yanny,
I hear is Yanny.
While 53% hear Laurel. Clearly, this has created an internet argument that is...
All right, okay. Enough.
Shut up. I hate you already.
Yodeling Kid is 4th. Number 3 is, I don't know if we ever talked about this, if you saw it, the 2 YouTubers that broke up, and then they broke up on YouTube, and they each did their own video.
What?
Oh, okay. Do you want to hear it? Because you're going to hate it.
I guess so.
Oh, it says video unavailable.
This one?
Yeah. 46 million views.
Liza cheated on me. There are seven guys.
Steve,
there are 7 guys, and I found them in her bedroom.
What is wrong with America?
Receiving.
How is it?
Single.
How is it? Shut up. What's up, guys? Welcome back to my main channel. I'm here with one of my ex-girlfriends, Liza.
One of them.
Yeah.
She could do better.
She could do way better.
Take the floor. It's your idea.
Okay.
Today's going to be a different kind of video. We're going to be doing the whisper challenge.
Hey, we're not together anymore.
Oh my God. I
Jesus Christ.
Would hate being in the same room as these two people.
This has 46 million views.
Why is everything hysterical?
We are broken up. Liza broke up with me 6 months ago.
Okay, cool. End of video.
Why'd you do that?
Why are you crying?
Because
it was your idea.
6 months ago, I should have done it earlier.
It wasn't helping for us to be together. For now.
She's edits in this video, by the way.
Yeah.
And that you never know what can happen.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
She's cute.
Liza and I took a quick video, a break from the video. This is 2 hours
look
later.
Good?
Now it's a break.
Because she's too emotional. She's too sad.
I want to go fix it, but I also want it to be authentic. One of us is going through some stuff.
Why is she crying? She dumped him.
Come on.
I don't
know.
Go.
I'm sorry. I'm...
I know, but you look normal.
Well,
this is so unfair.
I think we know which one of us
I don't understand why we...
46 million people watched
this. This is the number 3 video.
Yeah.
Why? Okay.
Number 2 is Trick Shots, those Dude Perfect guys.
I like those guys.
They're kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. I'll accept that.
Cool. And here is your number 1 video of 2018.
Where are we going?
Yeah, we're going. Here we go. We're waiting for you, Kylie. Right there. It's going to be okay.
Full hair.
Yeah. It's a woman giving birth. But it's not a birth video.
Pretty much the
There you go. I'm waiting for you.
Oh my God, Chris, she's beautiful.
Yes.
It's the, starts with the opening of the birth of Kylie Jenner.
Is what? Bruce in there too?
Bruce is in there. It's his daughter.
Whatever your name is going to be. This is how I found out about you.
It's basically Kylie Jenner's video to
your
her
mother.
Daughter. Where
and
she
I were living our lives,
first shows her kid.
She met your father.
How many views?
Just show her.
I don't know, but it's 11 minutes long. Almost 77 million.
Oh, to our daughter.
Right. Does it show it coming out?
If you made this for your... Yeah, I hope so.
I don't understand.
It just falls out.
That show has like 2.5 million viewers. How do they get 77 million to watch that?
Well, worldwide, first of all. And then every idiot probably watched it 4,000 times.
Yeah, wait till you guys... Wait till I unveil the video that I made for my daughter.
Cool. Can we see it privately? Yeah, if you're making it for your daughter, well, just give it to her.
It's 13 minutes long and everybody in the world gets to see it. But
so dumb.
Wait, of your daughter being born?
I have video of all of it. Yeah.
No, there's not going to want to see that.
I'm going to put it on YouTube pretty soon.
Ugh. Can I make your daughter throw up? Is this going to be her punishment when she's older?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, she's going to be an influencer and she's going to make millions. I'm going to start her early and get her own Instagram, just like the Stafford sisters.
Oh.
Yeah, all three of those chicks. They already have, what, 25,000 followers?
I don't get why people want to put their kids on social media like that.
What's the point of two-year-old girls having an Instagram page? What is the point?
To make sure that they have a shit ton of followers by the time they're teenagers so they can make some money off it.
That's pretty sad, then.
Who's following them?
A lot of people. A ton of people.
What are they posting?
Just pictures of themselves eating food. And
they're not posting anything.
Yeah, they're kids. What's Kelly posting of them?
I think that's really strange.
I think it's bizarre, Drew. I really do.
First of all,
they're not
Stafford
even old enough to know they're being posted.
Yeah, you know what? If they were, maybe they'd demand more.
I don't even know what a computer is.
Like to more.
Oh, here you go. Here's one of the great videos.
I can't understand a fucking word they're saying.
Matthew Stafford. Interception. Interception.
These are drunk or something. Jesus.
I'm going to demand they have to join the union.
Famba.
It's a big come down from watching the kid open gifts and play with them.
Yeah, who thought we could go lower than that?
7 and 9. 6 and 10. 6 and 10.
Boring.
Wow.
Oh my God, they have a lot of posts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They get a lot of love.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
You get a lot of love, for sure.
Yeesh.
Heroes coming. Eli's coming.
We almost came up with a better opening song, Eli. It's actually a song called No Filter. But it's by Chris Brown, who, remember, beat up Rihanna back in 2009?
Of course.
Oh, we did have this one, though.
Eli.
This guy.
Eli, 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 Eli.
Who would think there'd be more than one song to introduce Eli Zarrett?
That's too funny.
Well, there is.
Oh,
God. That's two so far.
Elias, Elias, Elias.
There's three.
Elias, Elias, Elias.
That's a great name.
It's only got, what's a song with one word? It's fascinating.
That's all it needs. It's the point across.
And welcome to No Filter with Eli Zarrett.
Oh, I've done such a bad job with this. I created No Filter and stopped it like 2 or 3 weeks later. I've just done a very poor job of continuing going. But I do have a No Filter topic for you today. I got a sports rave. I think you might like.
Uh huh.
Should I just launch?
What's the topic?
Well, the topic.
Are we going to know it when you get into it?
Yeah, yeah. This is it's called the bowl game preview version.
Okay, I know what the topic is.
Brought to you by Houghton McInerney Star Lincoln, luxury cars, legendary dealership at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. So, you know, when I started covering sports mid-70s, there were 11 bowl games. Okay, birth in a bowl game demanded high performance, meant you were an excellent team, kind of like making the playoffs in the NFL. But Michigan, by the way, shortly after I was a student there, didn't go to a bowl game in 73. Mm-hmm. They were 10-0-1. No losses. 10-10 Tyler Ohio State, didn't go to a bowl game. Didn't go the next year in 74 when they were 10-1. Losing to the number one team for not going. So it meant something to go to a bowl game. Then in the 80s, when ESPN and cable came along, there was more money to be made, and so and more stations to show them on, so the field grew and more sponsors to get involved and gain exposure. So in 1990, there were 19 bowl games, but then something else changed. I was on Channel 2 at the time, and I was totally blown away by it. The Independence Bowl in beautiful Shreveport, Louisiana, decided to call itself Do you recall?
The Weed Eater Bowl?
The Poland Weed Eater Bowl.
The Poland Weed Eater Bowl, Independence Bowl, that memorable 34 all tie between Louisiana Tech and Maryland. That I'm,
you know, the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
You know what I remember about that? What? I remember TC being on the air talking about the cheerleaders chanting, Weed Eater, Weed Eater. That was a solid joke.
So that was, at the time, I you know, was aghast, and we made a lot of fun of that on radio and TV at the time. What are you doing with my headset there, man? Anyway, so that game in 2009 became the AdvoCare, which is an energy drink bowl. Then in 2014, it became the Duck Commander Bowl after something from Duck Dynasty.
What? I don't even remember that.
Well, it only lasted a year, that's why. Then there was,
how long was it the AdvoCare Bowl?
There was 2009 to 2014.
Missed that one too.
Missed that. Then it became the Camping World Bowl in 2015, and now it's the Walk On Bistro and Bar Bowl game. Bistro, I think, spelled the right way, like the French do it: B-I-S-T-R-E-A-U-X.
Oh,
so the
my.
Bistro Bowl. Anyway,
well, it's in Louisiana.
As I'm, what I'm leading up to is the fact that this year there are 40 games and 80 teams, and here are the highlights, and not confusing at all. Just pay attention. Next Saturday, the 15th, the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, Tulane, and the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Not to be confused with the actual Camping World Bowl game, Virginia and Syracuse on the 28th. Yes, so Camping World goes from a sponsor of the Independence Bowl. They liked it so much, they created their own bowl game. Okay. Now, day after Christmas, we'll feature the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. Formerly, of course, you recall, it was the Heart of Dallas Bowl. I'm sure you remember that.
I don't remember that.
You do?
I don't.
8 years it was that was
really?
That bowl game. Yes.
Wow.
And so that's 7-5 Boston College playing Boise State. Now, by the way, on the 21st, Boise State Stadium is the host of that much-anticipated Idaho Potato Bowl.
Wait, is that the Blue Field Bowl?
Yes, yeah. The Blue Field Bowl.
Shouldn't it be called the Blue Field Bowl?
Hey, the Idaho Potato Bowl had one of the best games ever. I think Central Michigan was involved.
Oh, that was a
Bowling
great
Green,
game.
One of them. Yeah, it was
that
back
was
and forth in the last minute. Yeah.
Anyway, it's this year at 6-6 BYU versus 7-5 Western in Boise. Outdoors, by the way, on December 21st. Also, on the day after Christmas, alongside the first Responder Bowl, is the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sounds delicious.
Maybe a distant relative or descendant of the Tostitos Orange Bowl. After all, they're both loves the things we'll have to snack on while watching guys on 6-6 teams smashing to each other. Cheez-It has Cal 7-5 versus 6-6 TCU, a much-anticipated matchup. So why all the games? Who will watch? Well, the answer to that is, of course, people from those schools. Sports fans desperate to see something. And with legalized gambling now, we can now enjoy, like, for example, the December 21st Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, Marshall in South Florida, or any other pairing 6-6 teams we have no other interest in. There's also the Quick Lane Bowl right here. I shouldn't say six. That one's 6-6 Minnesota versus 7-5 Georgia Tech. Now, my bowl, Michigan in the Peach Bowl in 12-29, them again, Florida. I should call it by its proper name, which is the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Yes.
So
I was going to ask. The title seemed incomplete.
It's right.
Without a sponsor.
Anyway, before we view it, let me quickly do our spot here, which is to say, this is brought to you by Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln. Lincoln celebrates the annual wish list sales event, Great Prices. Make America's premier luxury car feel like a gift to yourself. Lincoln's line of SUVs surpasses all brands. The sporty MKC, the new option-laden Nautilus, and Navigator, the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. Also the popular MKZ sedan that Mark and I happily drive. And the legendary Continental Pure Class. It was introduced in 1939 as the personal vehicle of Edsel Ford. So, as a Drew and Mike listener, you have your own personal sales dude called Jimmy D at 855-567-STAR. Have him put you behind the wheel of the Lincoln that's perfect for you. One of the stars of America's luxury cars called Jimmy at 855-567-STAR. So, bowl game preview. We're all pumped up.
You left my 6-6 Virginia Tech team out of your annihilation of the mediocre teams playing in stupid name bowls.
What stupid name bowl are they in?
You know,
because there's 40 of them, and I only had time for 7 or 8 stupid name bowls.
Does the military bowl not have a sponsor?
No, they have to.
Is that possible that because it's the military, there's so much respect afforded to the military that they're not going to put some cheesy sponsor
the military
in front
probably
of it?
Sponsors it. It's the Northrop Grumman military bull, I believe. I think so. Hang on. Hey, when was the Poland Weeder Bowl?
1990.
I'm sorry. It's the military bowl presented by Northrop Grumman,
bowl.
So
here's where sponsorships really jumped the shark. This was 1998.
What was it?
It would be a great defensive struggle.
So it was after the Fiesta Bowl.
Each of these teams beat seven teams.
After Tennessee won. I think Drew knows where this is going.
Oh, yes, I do. It
would be what we Philip saw Fulmer's today. On the stage right now, with Lynn Swann.
Down to the field for the post game and the presentation of the championship trophy. Let's join Lynn Swann.
Again, it was just the championship trophy, too.
Thank you very much, John. As you can see, Coach Fulmer is being hugged by friends and family.
There's some weird guy in a suit standing next to Lynn Swann.
We're going to ask you to turn around here for a moment. Face your fans. I have Herman Frazier here, president of the Totitos Fiesta Bowl. Totitos. He would like to make the presentation of the Fiesta Bowl trophy.
Coach Fulmer.
This guy is so desperate to get Fulmer to hold a bag of Tostitos.
Vice President,
well, he already said, how about a bag of Tostitos, didn't he?
Fiesta Bowl family. Yeah.
Tennessee coach.
Here he comes again.
We're going to ask you to turn around here for a moment. Face your fans.
A little bag of Tostitos there.
Lynn Swann actually shoved him out of the way. I didn't realize that. Well, no wonder Swann's not working in broadcasting anymore.
I would like to make the presentation of the Fiesta Bowl trophy.
Coach Fulmer, on behalf of Tostitos, they're represented by their vice president, Don Compton. The Fiesta Bowl family would like to congratulate you and the University of Tennessee for a wonderful performance. Our 2,500
And the guy holding the bag of Tostitos sets it down to lift up the trophy. He's the one presenting it, the guy from Tostitos.
The Fiesta Bowl trophy. Congratulations, coach.
It's just so embarrassing. Anytime they get the sponsor involved, like, what's the famous one with the was it the Giants? When the guy, the car, does a lot of tech stuff or whatever.
Oh, Rick Wilde? Yeah.
Yeah. That was a classic.
The worst for me and all is, I don't know if you guys watch golf or not, but every tournament on TV on Sunday, they then bring in the CEO of whatever the hell the company is,
and I know.
Jim Nantz interviews him for 5 or 6 definitely boring minutes, and it's just one big BJ for the company, and you know, he always tries to sound like a sports fan. It's just,
why don't they just run a couple commercials in place of that awkward 5 minutes? It's horrifying.
It's the worst.
But you know, now that they put these names in front of do we know what the sponsors pay for this, right? Like the Chick-fil-A, what do they pay to sponsor the Peach Bowl?
I'm sure it differs. I don't know what the number is, but it's got to differ between the exposure and all that. But you know, I think the beauty of it, even though some of these games are on at midnight and they're nothing, Fleabag Bowl games, so the people who go to the school watch them. But every time ESPN mentions the game coming up and they analyze it the next day, it's in the paper, that's the little exposure, that whether people watch the game or not. It's the mention of it, and it's the status of actually having a bowl game, because we still believe or want to believe that bowl games are important.
Well, I don't doubt that they get their money's worth.
Yeah.
But
What the cost is, I don't know. It's
my question is, you know, I look at some of these bowl games, I see that the half-empty stadium.
Right.
And I wonder, are there really a lot of people watching this game?
Just the gamblers, the kids that go to school there.
What is the audience for some of these 6-6 teams that are playing? Is it a million people, a couple million people?
Oh, I don't even think it's that much, is it?
Well, the money part really does work?
The ratings are what your old rivals in Riff had, hash marks, they call them. Like zero ratings, little 0.3s and 0.4s. Like 200,000 people watching, so 0.2.
The sponsors just make it work because
it's the exposure. It's the, you take over that town, and like I say, they mention you it's in the paper. It's listed that way.
But if it was based on audience size, the economics wouldn't work.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
I couldn't say.
And also, there's 40 bowls, did you say? 39, 40?
40 bowls, 80
teams.
Okay,
it's 80 teams.
There's only 125 teams, by the way.
In the Power 5?
Yeah.
Two out of three chance you got of making a bowl?
Just about that. That's why certain teams stack their schedule weak teams so they can be 6-6, even though they're two. How about Northwestern was, I guess they lost, they were 8-4.
8-5.
Yeah, 8-5, but...
How pissed would you be if you were one of the 6-6 teams that didn't get to go to a bowl? There were about four or five of them.
I don't know how
they should have the loser bowl for them.
Yeah, there should be some default bowl.
One last thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Urban Meyer, you surprised Urban Meyer?
No, I think it really stems from his falling out with the university. All the stuff in the beginning about that he maybe misrepresented them, that he lied.
Why didn't they fire him when they suspended him? Why didn't they just fire him?
Well, they didn't want to fire him. They wanted because he's a great coach. They wanted to get through.
Then why don't they keep him?
Well, he quit. I think it's on him. I think he felt that
he's not feeling the love.
That the relationship was they didn't stand behind him, and that it was fractured that way.
Does it cost him less because he retired versus getting rid of him? Does it cost the university less?
Hmm. Yeah, does he get
less? Sure
it does. And I mean, he would rather go down on his own terms and be fired for supporting Zach Smith.
But he might want a less Moonves-like payout if he can get one.
Well, you know what? We don't know what he's doing. He still might be part of the athletic department. The way they acted in that press conference.
That was very strange.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
The whole thing was very, very odd. Did he misrepresent? But that wasn't lying. Did he?
He fucking lied.
I guess he felt that they didn't cover up his lies well enough. But I do think
he deletes texts the way he did, is lying about stuff. He lied to the media.
There's so much. The whole thing about how he supports women's rights and how they above the line behavior and all that, and he held on his staff for years a guy who was, adequately accused of abusing his wife several times. But
hey, somebody.
I think he's tired, too. He's 54 years old. He has physical problems, but he'll be back.
He looks like he puts way too much into it. They all do. I mean, all these college coaches. It's insane the hours they work. They have no life.
Right.
But I did wonder, because somebody printed online something about, all his felon players. And then somebody came back and said, and of course, these are people commenting, so I don't even know why I'm reading it. But somebody came back and said, screw you. There are no felons on the Ohio State football team. Has he had a bad record with players at Ohio State?
Not like at Florida.
No, I know it wasn't like at Florida, but do they still have troublemakers on the team who get arrested once in a while?
I haven't been reading a lot about it. I don't know.
I haven't really noticed.
How much the police are in his back pocket. After all,
probably they were in the Ohio State's back pocket with Zach Smith.
Right, exactly.
Clearly.
I'm going to say the coach would have gotten away with it hadn't it somehow gotten out from a reporter. So
I don't think it was any more than, say, any other major university,
probably
unlike
normal.
When he was at Florida.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was when he was at Florida.
He should have retired like a month ago. Maybe that would have helped. But
yeah,
as Michigan goes, but
and today. Good Morning America had on the girl that Reuben Foster beat up.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Should we watch that?
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. Because it...
Now, he's okay. There was also Kareem Hunt last week, too.
Yes, Kareem, there you go.
Who, if the camera hadn't caught him kicking his girlfriend in the head, might have gotten away with that, too.
He'd be suiting up Sunday. But he's so sorry. Even though he lied for, 9 months?
I know. You remember Bob Arum, the promoter? He's in a news conference. They said, that's not what you said yesterday. Why are you saying that thing? Well, yesterday I was lying. Today I'm telling the truth.
What a great line.
I don't think you have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll find it online.
Maybe my TV is stuck. Sorry.
What happened?
I cleaned up my TV today.
Oh!
It wasn't that great an interview. I'm downplaying it now.
You're missing the Bush train, 4141 train.
I thought it was are they still burying?
This is in Texas, isn't it?
They're still burying.
New funeral today.
It's a 3-day. I never heard of a 3-day funeral.
Well, Aretha Franklin was a month long.
Oh, that was a long one.
Yeah, but a 70-mile train tour with him, and people are waving at it as it goes by.
Yeah,
like he can't.
They're waving at a casket,
and
they're also filming it with their phone.
And they're getting shots with their
hate to, he's a great president and all that, but isn't this a little in excess?
Yes.
This morning, I'm watching.
94 after all. It isn't like he died unexpectedly at a young age.
I turned on CNN around 11 o'clock and there's a funeral. I'm like, they're replaying yesterday's funeral. This is crazy. And they find out it's a different funeral for Bush.
Yeah.
And they're carrying the whole thing. And there's family members talking about him again.
Serious issue, Shalitha.
Yep. Look at the people waving, too. Like, he's going to wave back.
waving
at a train.
You know Barbara Bush, not the wife or the grandmother?
Yeah, the granddaughter.
Did you see her husband during the funeral yesterday?
I did not.
Sobbing?
Really?
Yeah. Over his new wife's grandfather passing away. that a little
odd? A little over the top. There's a lot of softness in that age group.
This picture got a little blurry when I printed, but he is, man, he is bawling.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't criticize that.
I will.
It's his grandfather-in-law, in other words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not be sobbing. That would not happen.
No, and he's a younger guy. It's a little odd.
I just have a hard time accusing people of crying for effect. Not that it doesn't happen, but...
Eli, you're saying everybody grieves differently?
Well, yes. Yes, everybody cries
differently. I think he's overly emoting.
Look at that picture of him.
He is over-emoting there. I mean, his whole face is collapsing.
All I can see in that picture, though, is Jeb's red face.
Ah. Now, if he glanced at the camera, then I'd be a little more suspicious.
Maybe he's crying because that funeral took forever.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's over.
Jeb Bush is a low-energy person.
Maybe he's just overly emotional himself.
Yeah.
And I'm worried for Barbara.
At any funeral.
A lot of estrogen.
Yeah. Look at that face. We'll post that on the
site. He is really coming unglued there.
Was the night, that thing about Jeb Bush and low energy, was it the first, I'll never forget the first Republican debate when there were 17 of them up there.
I remember, too.
And that night he destroyed two people in about 2 minutes. And it was when you first realized that Trump just knows how to do this shit. When he called Jeb Bush low energy, That's it. It was over. And then Lindsey Graham talked back to him. And he goes,
I also
that's why
happened to call him a lightweight.
He says, that's why you got 1% and you're on the end.
Yep. You know? I remember.
It's just such a put down. It was
every time I saw Jeb Bush after that, he seemed like he had less energy. He really did. It was strange. It had an amazing effect.
Don't forget about Little Marco and Lion Ted,
that,
too.
That all came later. The first run was low energy Jeb Bush, which was brilliant.
It finished him.
He was an apostrophe.
We all called him low energy Jeb when we
Crooked
saw him
Hillary.
At the funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it just stuck. Yeah. I mean, I have to hand it to him for that, I guess. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Eli.
Okay, my pleasure. Watch those bowl games. I want a full report.
Ah.
Oh, boy. I know. You know, I think these bowl games would really die if people didn't have these pools.
Oh, I'm in one.
Bet on every game.
I love it.
Yeah, but it doesn't make the games any better.
No. Mm-mm. I have no interest in Michigan's bowl.
Why
that's
do they
very
play,
sad.
What is it? They played Florida 5 times now.
I know. It's crazy. Stupid. What was wrong with LSU or UCF?
Didn't they end the season against Florida in a bowl game and then played them in the opener in 2017? Yeah,
2 years ago.
That's ridiculous.
2 years ago. I know. That's right.
No relationship.
They played two consecutive games against Florida.
Right. Against a team not in their conference with no history.
That is
no
so
nothing.
Weird.
From January 1st, 2016 to January 1st, 2019, they would have played Florida 3 times where they played Minnesota for the Little Brown Jug.
Where are the conspiracy theorists looking into this? Why is this happening? Who's against us?
I don't know.
It's rigged.
What's wrong with UCF or LSU? Couldn't they
LSU would have been great.
That would have been really cool. They never played LSU.
And then you'd have UCF versus Florida, which would have been exciting to see.
But this is the Peach Bowl's choice. They had the choice, and they wanted those two schools because they travel people. So in other words, this is a shitty game. You've seen it 3 times lately, but because we'll put people in the stands, we're going
to
do it.
Yeah, because your people like to vacation.
Are you saying sports decisions are economically motivated? Are you kidding me?
Unless you're a player.
It's so horrible. Unless you play college football. Everybody but the players. All right. Okay, so the legal pot story.
Oh, yeah, let me go back.
Did you cue that?
Yeah, I got to go back to it.
You're sending me away before the legal pot story?
Hey, come on. Hey, Eli, you know all the answers to these questions.
Okay.
Well, there's debate over whether you can smoke on your front porch or inside, or can you be in your back porch? And
this guy explained
it's legal. If it's legal, it's legal.
Smoke everywhere, first of all. They smoke everywhere, but you're saying on your own front porch you can't smoke?
I don't know.
The bong and getting high. But before you do, here are 7 things you need to know beforehand. 1, the only way you can get marijuana right now, at least, is if someone gives it to you as a gift. But you can still grow your own plants.
The only way that you're going to be able to receive marijuana is through someone who's growing marijuana.
2. Don't give up your medical card. It could save you some tax.
It's still advantageous to have a medical marijuana card, mostly because of the taxation purposes. You'll be taxed less.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people think about that.
The separation
of
products.
3, you can only smoke inside your house, not on your front porch. However, on your back porch is fine, according to attorney Barton Morris with the Cannabis Legal Group.
What law is that?
You can drive with weed in your car, no more than 2.5 ounces. Just remember, it's illegal to smoke and drive. 5. You must be 21 years or older to smoke marijuana, and you can't smoke weed in public places. If you get caught, you can't face a fine.
Numbers.
6. You can grow up to 12 plants inside your home. Whatever you grow on those plants is all yours. Anything over 2.5 ounces inside your house needs to be locked up.
For recreational, you can have a maximum of 10 ounces in your house, but it does have to, you know, still be locked up and still be stored away.
7. Finally, remember, even though weed is legal, your employer can still fire you for getting high. Employers have the right to say no to smoking pot.
What? So again, marijuana will be legal in Michigan. If you do have any questions or concerns, you can go to our website,
WXYZ.com,
and check out some of previous stories.
Yes.
Reporting in Detroit,
what,
Campbell.
They can test you and say, you have pot in your system, you're fired.
Yes. Yeah,
they can.
I guess so. Why? That's bullshit.
They have their own rules, and it could be safety under their sort of purview. Or...
They can't tell you that you can't drink at home.
Yeah,
they can't do that.
But remember, remember the what company was it up north or something like that, where they said you can't smoke even at home.
Cigarettes. That's right. You could drink, but you couldn't smoke cigarettes. I don't know. I don't understand this. I really don't.
I look at the story, so I see it from a video standpoint. And the shot they show when they said you can only grow 12 plants at home, they showed a warehouse. nobody said, hey, does anybody grow any plants in their house? We want to see a picture of a plant. No, they get B-roll of a forest full of marijuana. Yeah.
That was a lot of dope.
Cheap-ass producing.
Well, I mean, an individual, I believe, is what that pertains to, as opposed to people. There have to be different rules for people who are going to cultivate it in a sort of business sense, but they haven't developed that yet.
I still understand the idea that it's legal, but they can fire you, and you can smoke it on your back porch, but not on your front porch. What do you mean? It's legal. You have a beer on your front porch.
It's weird, because what's the distinction? What if your back porch abuts other people, and they can... Isn't it to keep little kids from seeing it or something?
I don't know. I'm really confused.
It shows that the people making these rules don't smoke weed.
Yes, they don't.
Because smokers, whatever. Just light it up.
Just do it like you've been doing it. Come on.
He's taking drugs.
Who makes up these rules?
Yeah, we all know what to do.
I haven't smoked pot since the third grade. It was fucking with my libido. I couldn't get hard.
You've been handling our pot for a long time. I think you know what to do.
Yeah, just do what you've been doing and don't be an asshole about it.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I get addicted to it.
No, Eli's out.
It's not habit forming.
I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
The Golden Globe nominations came out, and it seems that it's becoming commonplace for me to go, I don't know any of these movies.
Oh.
I don't know any of these people. But Christian Bale, Vice is about Dick Cheney.
Yeah, it's not out yet. It looks phenomenal, though. It's the Adam McKay, the guys that did The Big Short. Remember Adam McKay?
Somehow I can't imagine an interesting movie about
his writing partner
Dick Cheney.
Will Ferrell for a long time. Yeah, now they're doing more serious movies. Have you seen the trailer of it?
Yeah. No.
There's a really quick clip of Cheney sitting in the car firing off the shotgun into that guy's face.
Oh, really?
So they're covering everything.
Oh, cool.
Can you pull it up, Brandon?
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, how could you?
I don't know.
And Steve Carell's in it. And it looks
I just thought about it. I'm trying to remember. Was he vice? No. Was he vice president? No, he's chief of staff? Vice
Dick
president.
Cheney?
He's vice president. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the evil vice president who's pulling the strings.
The guy in the face.
Look at who's George Bush.
Who is that? As Bush.
Jeff Daniels?
Rockwell.
Oh, Sam Rockwell.
My God.
Rockwell?
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
He is the best.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
He looks like Cheney.
I want you to be my VP. I want you.
That's Christian Bale as Cheney?
Yeah.
George,
holy shit.
I'm a CEO.
The mannerisms,
a large
company. Got it,
And I have been Secretary of Defense. And I have been White House Chief of Staff. The vice presidency is a mostly symbolic job.
Uh-huh.
However, if we came to a different understanding, I can handle the more mundane
it's Batman
jobs, overseeing bureaucracy, military, energy, and foreign policy.
Everything!
Yeah, right. I like that.
I know the direction, lay of the land.
have power, people will always try to take it from you, always.
There he is, shooting the gun.
Are you even more ruthless than you used to be?
Stephen Carell is Rumsfeld. Right.
Christian Bale, Amy Adams is Lynn Cheney, Steve Carell is Rums.
Fucking Sam Rockwell.
So we're gonna do this thing or what? I mean, is this happening?
I believe we can make this work.
Hot damn.
I think it looks good.
Nice.
I guess as exciting as Dick Cheney can be, is that's probably as exciting as he can be made.
Did you see The Big Short?
The Big Short, yeah. It was such a good movie. So.
I liked it.
Did you see the producer of this? Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, and Brad Pitt.
Oh.
Well, that's the entire group from The Big Short, too, pretty much. No Margot Robbie, but...
Well, Christian Bale is nominated for Golden Globe in the comedy actor, along with Lin-Manuel Miranda for Mary Poppins.
Manuel, whatever.
No, it's Manuel.
Time
Weir.
To find out which film takes home the Golden Globes.
Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. That's a Farrelly. Is it Peter Farrelly, I think?
The Green Book?
I believe it is.
No, it's not. Isn't that a serious movie about race or something?
Yeah.
It's in the comedy category.
Viggo Mortensen.
It is Peter Farrelly. It's Peter Farrelly. I thought it was a serious movie.
It's in the comedy category. Don't ask me. I didn't see it. I'm just reading it. Robert Redford, The Old Man and the Gun, and John C. Reilly, Stan and Ollie.
Oh, man.
I'd like to see that.
Sounds dumb.
I'd like to see that movie. Dramatic actor, Bradley Cooper, of course.
Robert Redford, The Old Man and the Gun.
That's really funny.
Oh, my God.
Well, comedy musical. Is it a musical? I don't know. There's three things in the comedy category, I think. Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, not William Dafoe, Willem Dafoe, at Eternity's Gate. Lucas Hedges, Boy Erased. Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody.
He's Freddie.
Gary Graff's not going to be happy about that.
That movie was nominated for Best Drama.
I know. John David Washington for Black Klansman.
That's Denzel's kid.
Yeah. Doesn't look like
it is.
Him.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Actress, comedy, Emily Blunt, Mary Poppins, Olivia Colman, the favorite. Elsie Fisher, Eighth Grade, Charlize Theron for Tully, and Constance Wu for...
Yeah,
something.
Sure.
I don't know. Who knows who these people are? Actress drama. Glenn Close, The Wife, Gaga for Stars Born. Nicole Kidman, Destroyer. Melissa McCarthy, Can You Forever Forgive Me? And Rosamund Pike, A Private War.
You'll never see that.
Just a struggling actor with a thick.
Best comedy picture, or best picture. Wait, Best Picture Comedy? Oh, yeah, the comedy wrong. Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, Mary Poppins, Vice, Best Picture Drama, Black Panther,
Black Klansman.
Bohemian Rhapsody. If Beale Street Could Talk, that sounds like something I want to see. If Beale Street Could Talk and A Star Is Born, it must be about Memphis music, right?
Isn't that a love story?
Oh, is it?
Well, Drew loves
Okay, forget that then. Scratch that. I'm not real interested in many of the movies I'm seeing. Vice sounds interesting.
What about TV?
Fairly Brothers. Yeah. Well, TV, This Is Us was snubbed, so I don't want to talk about TV.
Hey!
It's too upsetting.
Oh, I like that idea.
Was Manifest nominated?
Not that I know of. FX got 10, HBO 9, Amazon 9, Netflix 8, Showtime 6, NBC 3,
Ooh.
CBS and Fox and ABC apparently less than 3.
Ooh.
Wow.
Hey, my girl on The Americans. Well, actually, The Americans series.
What?
Is up for one.
She was?
The Golden Globe.
The Golden Globe.
She likes showing it off.
I'm glad she did.
Carrie Russell.
Oh, The Versace Show got a lot of nominations.
Oh, did it? That was great. That was a great show. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. I mean, I was blown away by that movie.
And just Bateman for Queen Anne was
Escape at Dannemora got nominations too.
Did it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Who was what's her name? Arquette.
You know what? I don't know because it's not a series; it's a short. So I don't know if she got nominated.
Doc?
She's phenomenal in it, though.
Wow, they packed some pounds on her.
Yeah,
jeez.
Especially in the boobs.
Play Tilly.
She already huge, or did they have to pack those on?
I think she was on her way, but. They helped. Best TV series,
we
The Americans.
We have you in mind for a character, and she weighs 200 pounds, but it looks like you're on your way there.
She's so
we just like to speed
it.
Up the process a bit.
She's so good in it, though.
She's really good. I agree.
And Matt made her spit on his hand before he put it in. Gross. Ugh. Sacha Baron Cohen got nominated.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Wasn't that like Best Actor?
In a television series for Who Is America.
Yeah.
Donald Glover, Bill Hader. Mike Douglas, Made Me Moist, is in there.
Michael Douglas?
Yeah, he's in that Kaminsky Method, which is another... who's the guy that
Michael
did...
Douglas used to make me moist when I watched the show. I admit it, I would get moist when I watched the show. Only like white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
It's a Chuck Lorre show.
Old guys.
Yeah.
Old guys in entertainment. Looks,
I don't know. It's streamed, so I have very little interest.
Wow. Look, here's the side-by-side with Patricia Arquette and Tilly.
Oh.
Let me see.
Joyce Tilly
It's
Mitchell.
Really funny because that show really makes close. Her, like, she's the protagonist. She's, like, the bad person in the whole
yeah,
series.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no mention of how Matt and Sweat were in prison to begin with because Matt dismembered his fucking boss and threw parts of his body out of the car. But on here, he's
That's
just
not cool.
He's just handsome Benicio del Toro, having his hands spit upon.
Oh, God. That made an impact on you.
Really did.
I can tell.
He kept in the series. He kept going, just a tip, just a tip. She wouldn't do it because she was in love with the other prisoner.
What?
Yeah.
Her husband is such a chump. Who plays her husband? God, he's such a chump.
Lyle? Don't you talk about Lyle that way.
Why? He's...
What? That's insane!
They were... Hey, what song do you want on the jukebox? And he's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. And
he just you're lucky you're a girl. I would smack your ass clear across this room.
So Benicio wanted some Chief Hackle action?
Yeah. Well, that was his way of... It's really funny. They do stay true to the story because remember... remember Matt was like the mastermind to get the ball rolling?
Yeah.
To escape, and then once he got some pussy from Tilly, he's like, oh, you can do it all, Sweat. And Sweat's the one that finished all the digging, because he was just putting his tip in Tilly.
Yeah, boy.
That's one of the best stories.
The Chief Hackle story was such a bummer. It was like, first of all, I don't even want to know this. And then, I guess I don't need a rehash.
Yeah, these, that should be one of these
the grim details that we never wanted to know in the first place.
That should follow up Escape from Dannemora.
That was just a really weird story.
It was a crazy story.
You know, you got this really powerful guy, and it just really was hard to say if it was one of those cases where, I mean, people could argue about it for days, I suppose, but the jury found him guilty.
And then his son went on to be...
Yeah, his son's done really well, I gotta say.
Executive of Macomb County.
Did you see Best TV Series? The Good Place finally got nominated.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show.
Ted Danson was snubbed!
Ooh, Barry from HBO.
Oh, and Dax's wife was nominated.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
Dax's wife.
Sorry, Kristen.
Kidding on Showtime.
I just couldn't pull her name up. It wasn't that I wanted to call her Dax's wife.
He's Kristen Bell's husband.
Yeah, he probably... Well, it's close.
I guess.
They both have done really well.
You're right.
Even though he snubbed us.
I know.
Should we call him again?
Yes.
No. Okay. I think we've gotten word to him. I really do.
Oh, really? And it's a legitimate snub?
I think it's a real snub.
He's responded to certain messages.
So he knows of our existence.
Yeah, no, he knows that people have told him, hey, people that he's having conversations with at the Drew and Mike podcast is reaching out to you, and he just kind of moves
on. Snubs them.
He's on another planet now. Maybe we need to go through Kristen. Can we get a hold of Dax's mom? She'd talk some sense into him.
I don't know. Maybe she's snubbing us, too. We're being snubbed by the whole Bell contingent.
We're the competition.
Snubbery going on is just incredible. We're being snubbed by Dax's mom, it seems. Does anyone know Dax's mom? That's our last shot. If she can't make it happen,
unless
it's
over. We make inroads with the Bells.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom. Are they still around here? Are they still in Huntington Woods?
It's a drive over there.
It's a great idea.
5 minutes.
I was driving by Shrine because I think she went to Shrine. And I told Charlie, "Go, hey, that's where Elsa went to school." Because I think she thinks Elsa from Frozen is real,
right.
Or Anna. Maybe she's Anna. I don't even know who's who. But Kristen Bell's in Frozen,
right?
So I think that blew her mind. Like,
really?
She thinks the real prince. What an idiot! Thinks the real princess went to school there. Whatever.
Well, you know, 4-year-olds.
Everybody lies to their kids.
Sure.
Got to keep the conversation going.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like you run out ever.
She doesn't. She's exhausting. I love her.
I think, should we try to call Tommy Chong to get any, maybe just pass along advice to Michiganders who are grappling with the business of pot being legal?
Right, back and help us define what the backyard, permissible backyard smoking is.
We should have just asked him, what do you think, Tommy? Can you smoke on your porch? Just act as if he's an authority on Michigan law.
I think
he would answer the question.
Oh, yeah. I believe he would have a vested interest in what's going on here because he does have a pretty big presence in Colorado.
I think he would engage in the topic. If he answers the phone, I do think he would engage.
But he has a product, like a high-quality product that he sells.
He's also doing stuff with Cheech.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody.
I meant weed, but you mean entertainment, and he's got that too. Yeah.
Somebody direct messaged me that he was in Grand Rapids, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't know what they were doing. You know, I suppose I should look it up. They were probably performing there. Tommy loves doing stand up.
Soaring Eagle.
No shit. They were at Soaring Eagle.
Yeah, but let's see when. Makes me feel just like an iguana. I know I like you like no other. In the morning, I'm always looking
for you. I am a cannabis man once again. Got the grass in the. Is this new? Or is this from Up in Smoke?
I don't know what this is from. Looks like it's from 2013.
Up in Smoke. That's where my money goes.
Oh,
yeah.
Tommy.
Hello.
Hey, Tommy, it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. How you doing?
Oh, how you doing, man?
Great.
We're just getting on a plane.
Oh, oh no, okay. Man. Pot's legal in Michigan today.
Maybe that's where he's going.
Yeah, he's coming
today?
Here.
Yeah,
today. It's
today.
Legal.
I thought it was yesterday. Oh, I broke the law. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think you got away with it. But
I'll turn myself in when I get to Michigan.
Do you have any words of wisdom you can offer as you get on the plane?
You suck. You don't blow.
That's pretty good. Tommy, you're so quick, man.
Yeah. Well, I got to get on the plane, man.
Okay. Hey, great. Thanks for picking up.
Okay, call me another time.
We will. You're on.
Okay.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been
smoking.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That's where
don't blow.
I love that he answered as he's getting on the plane. Although that's genius because he's getting on a plane.
Yeah. He knew he could get out fast.
Oh, that's what I got to use in the future. I'm getting on a plane.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
But you can't be around the next day. That's the problem.
It's like, remember Ed McMahon's excuse that he had a train to Vegas to catch?
When did he say that?
You might have been gone then. It might have been when Clark was there.
A train to Vegas?
He wrapped up the interview by saying, I got a train to Vegas to catch. And we realized afterwards how ludicrous that sounded, because it was, what, 2009? There's no train to Vegas.
Is that a euphemism for something? Maybe? Showbizzy?
I hope not. Gross.
He would know showbizzy euphemisms, for sure. It's weird to think of a world without Ed McMahon for some reason.
Yeah.
And when you said his name, I was almost thinking, he must be alive somewhere.
Yeah. Hosting something.
A world without Ed McMahon. How will we go on?
I don't know.
How have we?
How did he? No, seriously. He always stayed in the public eye somehow. How did he fucking do it?
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Well, also ads. Bloopers, blunders, and
oh yeah,
Dick Clark.
Didn't he host that?
Practical Jokes.
Practical Jokes.
I used to love that show when I was a kid.
That
was like my favorite.
Why
show.
Why was he on that show?
I don't know. He knew somebody.
He's no expert in bloopers, blunders, or practical jokes.
Oh, he's pulling practical jokes all the time.
Didn't he host the supermodel competition, or what was that?
Star Search?
Star Search, yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why it always seems like he was around.
He was relatively horrible at everything he did. He really was. He almost seems like one of those guys you hire as an inside joke.
Yeah, but also with the added capacity of being a good laugher.
Yeah.
So I laughed at all
you are
drugs.
Correct, sir.
There's a lot of energy.
Hey, I do have the Reuben Foster's Jeep.
Oh, the interview?
The interview with the girl.
Okay. This is really very touching.
What was your reaction when Ruben got signed to the Redskins?
When he got signed, I was like, I can't believe somebody picked him up. And I just couldn't believe somebody picked him up in less than how many hours? Like, I was shocked.
Elissa Ennis says she shares the outrage voiced by some across the country.
Strong eyebrow game.
Ex-boyfriend Ruben Foster being signed by the Washington Redskins just days after his arrest last month on suspicion of domestic battery. She says she and Foster had taken a break and he'd started seeing other people.
He invited me to come see him in Florida. And I came and he took one of my phones.
Ooh, yeah.
And he slapped me. And pushed me. Told him that I was going to tell his new girlfriend that he paid for my flight out there. So that's what triggered it.
Well, that's not a good
Ennis
guest.
Ennis claims Foster's abuse in that Tampa hotel on November 24th left her with these bruises on her neck and face.
Well, that's an even worse host.
I have to admit that when she said she was going to call the new girlfriend to tell her that he had flown her there, yeah. I'm not saying that I would have hit her. But I understand that he would be very angry at her.
Yeah, but
even though he is doing wrong, and she's doing wrong too.
She did leave out the context as to why she was going to do that. I wondered what, you know. Yeah, she didn't do that out of the blue, I would hope.
I don't know. Maybe she was jealous of the new girlfriend.
What do you mean, why she was going to do that? Of course she was going to do that.
She said,
I'm telling.
Okay, I think the story goes,
I've been pounding.
The way the story goes, he was with her, and it's kind of like, look, you know, do my own thing now. And so he had some new babe.
Spot on impersonation.
That was pretty good. So then he had this new babe. And he's like, yeah, the new babe, but, you know, I would like to fly up the floor. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to be, just fuck for a week and that'd be great. And then she gets there. Of course, she's jealous, new girl.
Yeah, of course.
Well, but so, how did she know
that was
about a good.
That was pretty good Cliff Notes.
Impromptu.
Our relationship. And so I was like, I can't believe you're back doing this because we were we both were seeing therapists and stuff, trying to work on our relationship. So I was like, I can't believe you're back to doing this.
So back to doing this as if this was something that happened several times before.
Yes, ma'am. Like three times.
And what did you do? Did you report this to police each time?
Well, the two times I did. One time the neighbors called. The neighbors called the police in October.
This incident in November, you called 911.
Yes, ma'am.
Your ex-boyfriend did what? Took my phone and broke it and slapped me in my face.
Did it feel like they did not believe you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I felt like they didn't believe me. Even when I called the police, the 49ers came up there. I have pictures of the 49ers coming up there trying to talk to the police and say, I'm the same ex-girlfriend that sit up there and lied.
Earlier this year in February, Ennis accused Foster of battery, but later recanted her story and dropped the allegations.
Reuben threw my clothes out the balcony. He threw my stuff out the house. He dragged me down the stairs.
Was that Richard Sherman coming with him for support?
Yeah.
To court?
In the court,
Two, three times. He punched me in my face. Two, three times. Pulled me by my hair. Kicked me. Spit on me.
And then you go to court, and then you recant your story.
Yes, ma'am.
And why'd you do that?
Because I loved him. Oh. And love, what have you doing?
Yep.
Things that's not in your best interest because the person you love.
She told authorities she fabricated the story as part of a money scheme.
There were some previous allegations that you were...
Why'd she add that?
I guess to extort money. Were you not telling the truth at that point?
I was not telling the truth. I was not telling the truth.
How do we know?
So what do you say to people who are saying, well,
why would you say
you
that
in the past, that's ruined your credibility
to protect him.
Now? Well, I did what I had to do.
What, the extortion part?
Love will make you do crazy things, she just said.
I thought that he would change. Anybody in my position, they would have did the same thing if they, you know, shared a family with this person. He used to come crying to me, telling me he didn't have anybody. If somebody called... The true love comes from...
He's got Richard Sherman.
They didn't have anybody. You do the same thing, too.
He's got that other side piece.
Yeah, that's why I did what I did, because I loved him.
Do you still love him?
I've been getting help and stuff like that. This is not love.
I feel bad for her at this point.
Love won't do you like that. This is not love. No, I've been getting help, but it's not love.
There are no criminal charges pending against Foster.
She knows it's fuck. I mean, there's pictures of her bruises.
which keeps him from
I think they should have called the other girlfriend on the Today Show at the end of the interview.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that been cool?
Yeah. Worth more than $9 million.
Well, in a situation like this, we have a pattern in practice. So this wasn't an isolated incident that just happened in Tampa Bay. This is a person who's in a relationship with someone. Police are called by neighbors, and that something has gone awry. No one should have to live in fear or in abuse like she did.
Yeah, but can't we...
What?
Can't we encourage women not to cover up for guys? When they shouldn't we be doing that instead of saying, women always do that, so therefore we know they're doing that. Why not just say, why don't we get women to, when this happens, can't we stop this trend?
Yeah, but like she just said, she loved him. She thought she could change him.
But if a guy's beating you up, can't we sort of educate the world that, no, they don't change. You have to prosecute them. Well, don't lie afterwards and say that they didn't do it.
Us as guys, we know that. We know we're never going to change. It's, you know, it's up to you, Trudy.
I know, but...
guys don't change.
They don't even, like, at the end of that story...
Women don't change either.
Shouldn't they have said, don't do that. Women do this a lot, and you should never do this. Always, you know, don't back down from the story.
If he lays hands on you...
He'll never learn. He'll never fucking learn.
He will not love you, player Dave, period.
Great guy.
If he lays, and, by the way, if he hits you, he's going to get away with it. Yeah. And he does. He'll get away with it.
And he'll do it
time.
Again. Yeah.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No. That it was it doesn't, for money. But it's very hard to believe someone when they tell a court of law that, you know what, I made it up to extort money. I mean, isn't it hard to believe her now?
Yeah, it throws in question her character.
Photos are pretty bad.
Well, maybe she hit herself.
Well, you
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. She made it up to extort money before. Who's to put that past her?
Yeah, but we know why.
No, I believe he hit her, but I'm just saying. I mean, he has that in his back pocket now.
You're right. That will be used against her, and the jury probably will see it that way.
And the next girlfriend he beats, he will say, "This happens. Shit happens to me all the time. I beat girls claim I beat them up, and I didn't."
That's great. He's gonna
the last one. It's in a court of law. Said she tried to extort me, and somebody else will use the same excuse.
He's got a ticket to beat women for the rest of his life. Then that's awesome.
He'll use it again if he needs it.
Well, the Redskins believe him.
I don't know if they do believe him. Do they? Do we think they believe him? No. I think they just want him to play.
It really shows the value of a good linebacker, though, doesn't it? Because nobody wants a piece of Kareem Hunt because running backs are pretty, you know, interchangeable. But, man, if you can get a good linebacker like that, let's
Aren't
sign
there
him up.
Other players? I mean.
That's what I'm saying, though. That position, he's one of the best. So he's going to get away. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt, where Kareem Hunt is a running back, and yeah, we can find another one.
I think that somebody from the opposite team, who is a women's rights advocate, should break his leg.
Yeah, right.
That'd be awesome.
I predict Kareem Hunt, he'll be playing again next year. He'll get a job.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, he's only beaten up three people. Yeah.
No, he's definitely going to get signed over the summer. Somebody's going to pick him up.
He's going to sit out six games.
He'll sit out some games, but...
The more I see his story and his apology, the more I just laugh out loud at how ridiculous it is that it took him 23 years to become the kind of person who would beat up women and have friends collecting phones as he did it. I mean, it's like it's an exercise.
Yeah.
And by the way, Reuben Foster, too. This whole phone collection thing is learned behavior. I don't think when you first hit a woman, your first thought is, get her phone. I think that's sort of a thing when you fuck up and you do stupid things, you start grabbing people's phones, your friends grab their phones. It was so weird in that video, the way that guy went right for the second girl's phone.
Look at the size of these guys.
And she had her phone stolen, I think, before they got in the hallway. Her phone had been taken away. She's probably trying to tape some. I don't know. I guess the first impulse is to record the people who want to take your phones, and the next impulse is for them to take your phones. But anyway, I mean, the whole thing is so bizarre. So it took him 23 years to become the asshole that, you know, literally he wanted to bull rush that woman. He wanted to beat her up so bad. People are holding him back. He's a fucking animal. And his friends are desperately trying to keep him from getting in trouble. And they can't stop him. He wants to beat her up so bad. He beats up two other people in bars. And then he lies about all of it. Says the girl, she called me the N-word. It didn't happen that way.
And then, he hasn't done anything wrong.
And then 9 months after lying repeatedly about it, he says, I am so sorry
that I
can't
caught.
Believe that was me in that video. Oh my God. It's like, you fucking asshole, you are so not sorry.
I'm sorry. There's video.
Exactly.
Sorry, there's video.
If he had said that, I would have said, I believe you.
A woman in the head. I'm so sorry that video exists.
I know, he's really shocked to see himself doing that.
Crazy. Just hold up a mirror.
He's done it
time.
3 times in 10 months, and he's really that shocked.
There wasn't a mirror in the hallway. I couldn't see myself. I didn't know I was doing that.
This has been
tough. Famous video.
This has been tough on me.
On me. That girl's head is fine that I kicked.
Oh, my God. That was really amazing.
Speaking of great guys, Greg Hardy. Remember Greg Hardy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The woman beater who got away with it.
This is really rubbing some people the wrong way. He's making his ESPN's doing their first UFC fight, and he's on the card.
Oh, wonderful.
But also on the card is
ESPN, the progressive ESPN doesn't have a problem,
have problem, no problem
with it.
With
really?
It.
Must also, be a big rating getter.
Also on the card is a woman whose husband just broke her orbital bone in November in a domestic violence. So why not just have Greg Hardy fight her?
Wow. Yeah. Are people
a little ludicrous?
Are people being pissy about it?
Some people are.
He's undefeated so far.
Greg Hardy?
Yeah.
Is he making a good living at it?
He's 6-0 altogether, amateur records.
What's his record against women?
Oh, he's 1-0. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't even close.
1-0 that we know of, right?
Yeah, that was a brutal story,
fucking
too.
Awful.
And she also, didn't she not press charges, or did they decide?
Remember?
He appealed.
Yeah, the magistrate found him guilty. He appealed, and then they couldn't find her.
That's right.
It's crazy, even though her Instagram geotagged her in Colorado, like all over the place.
She probably got
He paid her off.
Yeah.
He paid her off, plain and simple.
See, look what these
that's why he still thinks he hasn't done anything wrong. Well, money.
That should be a crime. To settle a crime with money should be a crime. You really should.
Well, it subverts justice.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So it should be.
Look at where it's gone. I don't know how the legal system got perverted in so many ways, but that is
money.
A perversion that you can molest a 15-year-old girl and pay her money and she can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many there are, how many of those non-disclosures there are. Is that Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Did he pay people non-disclosure, are those non-disclosures too?
I don't know. He settled, though. That was a civil suit that he settled.
But he wasn't charged, was he?
He was criminally charged.
Or that's part of his charge.
He's criminally charged years ago and got 13-month plea bargain on something that the maximum was life. But he got 13 months because the...
he's a billionaire.
Well, he's friends with Clinton. He's friends with Trump and... The former prosecutor that made that deal is now up to be Secretary of Labor. Which, why is a former prosecutor for Secretary of Labor? Serious issue, shallow thought.
Favor? They owe him for something? For his good deal for Jeffrey Epstein? Their friend? Who knows?
Hey, what happens to Wilbur Rosten?
I know. Well, he's got his own money problems.
Wilbur.
Speaking of other women, Julie Chen Moonves is really struggling over the new accusations of Les Moonves.
What?
Yeah.
In what way?
According to the Post.
She's not calling herself Julie Chen Moonves
anymore? I'm Julie Chen
Moonves. The TV host was a true believer that all the claims of sexual misconduct against her husband were false. But now a TV source who knows Chen, no Chen Moonves, just Chen.
I'm Julie Chen Moonves.
Things may change following the new accusations revealed in a new report. That he kept a staff member on call for oral sex. Well, plus he's going to lose the $120 million severance, so that might change her
mind. She's totally, she's out.
Yeah. Well, she always thought, too, that it stopped once they got married, and doesn't seem to be the case anymore. What the source said, this is a quote from
All the previous shit didn't get to her, but the girl on blowjob call, that pushed her over the edge. Not the people that he raped or forced to give him a blowjob. That didn't bother her. But this girl who would come in and blow him as part of her job, that was
Julie's job. She was undercutting Julie's job.
Shit, she didn't want to do that.
She was in her territory.
This quote from the source. Obviously, that shows that Les liked to fish in the company pond.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Whatever. People are so common.
Should we call the story about Mr. Bates?
Oh, Mr. Bates.
That's his name. His name is Mr. Bates.
Mr. Bates?
Mr. M. Bates.
Brian Bates.
Brian M. Bates.
The guy who was caught beating off in front of a bunch of women while attempting to penetrate his anus with the handle of a toilet brush.
Me off.
Well, that guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to answer his phone, is he?
Maybe the doctor's office will.
The doctor's office?
Upon police arrival, officers found Bates in the bathroom with the door open whilst masturbating and simultaneously attempting to penetrate his anus with the handle of a toilet bowl scrubber. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's quite a quite an act.
Yeah.
I bet he'd be a good juggler.
He has some dexterity.
The act was witnessed by several adult females who were in the office.
Were they all gathered around watching because they were so fascinated? Laughing.
How many were filming? Probably got them off.
So is there a, we have his phone number or just the office number?
His and what we think is the office.
Huh. Give him a shot. Tommy Chong answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if what if Bates answers and goes, getting on a plane? It's the new thing.
Are you doing, Grandpa Kapooler, son?
What if he answers and...
I got a train to Vegas to catch.
Yes.
But the actually been pretty erotic. After all, the palm is the vagina of the hand.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Trying to give you a dick in Indian burn?
I mean, it is a long shot, but...
top two first.
What's his name again?
Brian Bates.
Mr. Bates.
Brian
He's
Bates.
A master at
Brian. Sounds like Brian Bates. It sounds like an athlete name or something. Actor, athlete, Brian Bates?
It's Kathy Bates' son.
Layla's been upstairs the whole show. She's not happy about it.
She did look mad while she was sleeping.
Patient at the doctor's office?
Well, to an automatic voice message.
It's possible.
Nine.
I mean, why was he there? Do we know?
To beat off in front of a bunch of people. Available. Stick a toilet brush in his
at
butt.
The tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Brian, give us a call. We just want to get your side of the story.
I don't know about that dexterity.
Oh my God. You're a one athletic dude. Thanks, man.
See you. I hope that was his number.
I got another one for him, then two more for the doctor's office.
Beat it. Why is my fader having so much trouble today? It's really pissing me off. Why does this have such a long intro, too? Better be the right one.
Is he wearing it?
Oh, it's not the right one. Ugh. I quit.
He spelled it wrong.
He did?
I don't think he's taking too many strumming.
Oh, it totally sounds like a guy that would do that.
We're unable to answer the phone right now, but if you leave a phone number and a message, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Brian. Just calling to chat. You want to call us back? We're trying to find out about what happened. Get your side of the story. It's the doctor's office stuff. It's crazy. Thanks. What if he did complete?
Oh, I'm sure he did with all those people watching. How could he not?
Well, it seems like he was trying for something.
I have a feeling this hospital is going to be mad at us. Or,
why? We
or
didn't do anything. I feel bad for the janitor who came in to clean the toilet and had to grab the end of that stick.
Oh, gross.
You know what doctor's office it was in, or is this the office?
Eh, close enough. Someone that's in the same building.
Hello?
Hello?
Yellow? Huh? Oh, boy. Is this Charlie Brown's teacher, or is this a bad phone line?
It's Al Hendricks' phone.
Is this on Al Hendricks' desk? Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, record, whole record.
Over there is that pig, man. I found a couple of skull stony arrowheads.
The Vapors are still playing.
Ooh, yeah.
They're around. They're touring.
Man.
You there? She's still there?
No.
Oh, all right. I give up. Stupid story. Idiot brought that up.
It's a strange story.
Rendon, why did you think I'd like that guy who wears the same clothes every single day? But I'd think he was hot.
Oh, it was just a prediction. I don't know. What's the verdict?
He's got too much hair on the bottom part of his face and not enough on the top.
Yeah, there's a dude in Minnesota who's going to wear the same outfit every day for a year so he can conserve energy or something like that.
Oh, that's like that chick was doing.
His own energy? Wait, so because he's so intelligent, he doesn't want to waste his brain on picking clothes? Because that's what Einstein used to do that?
Yeah, Steve Jobs, right.
And the girl that started that phony
Elizabeth Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, that gross chick.
I mean Elizabeth Holmes.
Everyone thought was so brilliant.
It's working because his brain looks like it's bursting out of his forehead.
She wore the same clothes every day to make people think she was conserving important brain power, but she really didn't have that much. I'm trying to bring up the...
Zach.
Brandon, did you send me the Rock Hudson story today?
Yeah.
Rock. Yeah. Here you go.
That was, Rock Hudson, that story is so old, and he was actually, I think he was 59 when he died of AIDS, but he was like the first guy to die of AIDS.
Yeah.
And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him.
He was famous patient one. Ground zero, he was ground one. Ground zero was the steward
on
the airplane who was just boofooing everywhere
in the world.
Nice.
That was bad to put him on an international
flight. So, but, I will never forget the Rock Hudson story. And let's see, that was the early days of radio. That was like 85, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that a humongous story? And it was a horrible story, too, because it was, it's hard to even tell the story to anybody who's probably even under 40 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, if you're 40, you were born in 78.
I remember it as a kid, but I didn't even understand it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably, but I mean, the significance of it is probably hard to gather for somebody who was seven then.
No, that it's Pedro from the Real World. He was our big AIDS guy.
But then there was sympathy for people with AIDS by then.
Yeah, but there was subterfuge because they claimed that he was on the watermelon diet.
Right.
What?
The way the story... Okay, I'll try and tell the story I can. For those of you who are not my age, Rock Hudson was a huge movie star.
Very handsome.
He was a studly, the prototypical for that time. I mean, he would not today... he would look different. He'd have tattoos and shit, and he'd have earrings, and he'd be flaming gay. But he was gay, but he was in the closet gay. In fact, he was going to be exposed in the 50s, and his agent said... Here, this other guy I represent, he's gay as hell. Expose him. Leave Rock alone.
What you see, huh?
And they hooked him up with beards. Doris Day was one.
He got married.
Really? He got married?
He got married. Yeah, it was fake marriage. It was like a secretary. It was like we're never going to fuck.
Was it consummated?
No. Hell no. No.
I love how you're so insistent it was
No, absolutely not.
He was that gay. It would never be consummated.
No, he would not. He would have thrown up before he would have consummated that relationship. So Rock just boo-fooed everybody he could. I mean, there's so many stories about Rock Hudson and what a
he had a swimming
gay
pool
dude he was.
Guys,
yeah, right.
He would come home and his assistant, who was his gay lover, would fill the swimming pool with like 20-year-old blonde gay guys. This is when he's like 50.
I gotta say,
he'd come home and just boo-foo the whole pool full of people.
I don't know if he's a better boyfriend or better assistant for doing that.
I know, that's really...
Think about it.
I know, I thought about this, like, doesn't that guy get jealous at all?
No, I mean, he probably gets sloppy second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Who swims in that
pool?
And
he likes it that way.
He liked watching Rock. I mean,
cleans that pool.
To see a guy boo-foo like 30 blonde dudes in a pool, it would be pretty spectacular.
They went through pool skimmers like crazy. They didn't even do that thing where you tap it out, they just threw it away.
Oh, yeah.
Just a film on top.
Yeah, there's like a 20-foot stack of packaging. And like, what the hell is that? Oh, pool skimmers. What the hell? Why do you go through? It's crazy. We like fresh pool skimmers. But anyway, Rock was, what was his TV series?
McMillan and Wife?
McMillan and Wife, yeah. And who was the wife? Was it?
Susan Schreer.
I was going to say Jill St. John, but it's.
Susan St. James. Wasn't she married to the NBC executive then?
Oh, really?
Susan St. James?
That sounds...
Yeah, Dick Ebersol.
Dick, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, she was hot.
Dick Ebersol's AIDS. Clear connection.
That show was gigantic big, And I think it was off the air, and Rock was he was like 50, late 50s, probably floundering, like, what do I do now?
Right.
And all of a sudden, he just sort of disappears for a couple of years, and then he reappears at this Doris Day event, because he and Doris Day had been in many movies that were very popular in the 50s and 60s, and he goes to this charity event, and he's really thin. He's lost a lot of weight. And people are like, oh, my God, look at Rock Hudson. You can't even see it from the side. He's so thin. What the fuck is wrong with him? And
remember the cover of the Inquirer?
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, it was like the picture was like, oh, my God, the picture.
Oh, God.
And he really didn't look. He didn't look good. But no. I mean, if he wasn't Rock Hudson.
Listen to these headlines. Exclusive Rock Hudson. The real story. Shocking reason he had AIDS. He hid AIDS for a year. Linda Evans and Dynasty cast terrified. He kissed her on the show.
Oh.
And they had slow-mo. They had like a slow-mo video of that that would run. And also they had pictures of their lips just about to meet.
Oh.
And Linda Evans, she was like the Catherine Zeta-Jones of 1985. No matter how bad she wanted to blow you, screw you, whatever, it's like, no! I think she went out in disguise and got laid occasionally. But anyway, so yeah, it was this disastrous public event, and they're like, what's wrong with him? And they're like, he's just got something wrong. It's weird. It's crazy. It's some crazy medical thing. And within a pretty short time, there were rumors that he had AIDS. And AIDS was new, so people didn't even know what the fuck AIDS was.
Right.
And it's like, AIDS is gay, people. And it's like, Rock Hudson, gay. What?
Everybody's mind.
Yeah, it was like, well, it wasn't that he was dying tomorrow. It was that Rock Hudson's gay. I mean, that's how weird it was in 1985. It was a huge deal. And it was a bigger deal that he was gay than that he was dying. It was, wasn't it? Am I exaggerating?
No.
It was like Rock Hudson.
I know.
Chicks have been getting off to Rock Hudson for decades. That's crazy. There's no way that's true.
They lied to us.
And so they tried to save Rock. I could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He was too far gone, and they didn't know what the proper medicine was. And I think he went to Paris, and they tried to treat him. I mean, people in hazmat suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came home, and he was going to die at home. And I remember the last story I remember about him was that Pat Boone and his wife were chanting in tongues over Rock Hudson.
Oh, my God, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah,
to heal him. It's like, oh, my God, poor Rock Hudson. God, what a horrible ending.
And then,
2 days before he died. Oh, he did look bad at that Doris Day thing. Jesus.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Like 2 days before he died, he said, I have AIDS and I'm gay.
See ya.
Like right before he died. Didn't he acknowledge he was gay right before he died?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was
he also said, oh my
God, he's gay!
Not that he's dying.
No, it wasn't. That was no big deal. But, I mean, it was a huge, huge thing for AIDS. And for
hooray for AIDS!
And also that, yeah, we should hear the South Park song, AIDS, yeah. AIDS, AIDS. And also, that was like the first, was he the first public person of any significance that was gay?
Yeah, yes.
Wait, there was nobody gay before that you, like, in popular culture?
No one ever announced it except for Elton John and David Bowie. And then David Bowie took it back, and Elton John got married. So, Elton John was, like, backing off at that point.
What about, like, Paul Lynde? Or was he just crazy?
I think people thought he was just very effeminate.
Huh.
I mean, I think people knew he was gay. We knew there were gay people, but it was like one in every 3 million people is gay.
Hooray for AIDS!
I mean, nobody dreamed there were as many gay people as there were.
So when did Freddie Mercury come out?
When he was dying of AIDS.
So was
like
after?
A day before he dies. Like, I'm gay.
And
I'm dying.
Freddie,
oh my God, he's gay! It was like that. I mean, it's crazy. It sounds like I'm making fun of him. I'm not.
No,
that's what it was like. It was insane.
Nobody understood it. That was, you know what?
And Liberace, literally, he weighs like 11 pounds. He's crashing his car because he can't turn it. He's in like multiple accidents.
Yeah, addicted to heroin.
I don't have AIDS. I'm fine. And he had sued Time Magazine for calling him effeminate and suggesting he was gay. And he won!
Wow.
Which is incredible. But anyway, so the story about Rock Hudson in the Daily Mail was, before his death, actor Rock Hudson sent his male lovers heartbreaking letters urging them to get tested after he was diagnosed with AIDS. Ugh. I know. No, I mean, in the end, it's like I have amazing respect for Rock Hudson. I mean, how horrible that must have been to know that you're going to say this and the whole world's going to go, oh, my God, that stud is gay. What? It was really a huge, huge deal.
Cary Grant was gay, according to this list, too.
There were a lot of those guys in Hollywood were gay. A lot of them liked men and women, or just Gable men.
And Montgomery Clift. I had heard that, like, vaguely when I was younger.
Yeah, there were
all a bunch of them.
I mean, over the years, you find out there were as many gay people then as there are now. Of course there were.
Barbara Stanwyck, Hollywood's biggest closeted lesbian.
Oh, Barbara Stanwyck?
Yeah.
Really? Hot. The 1950s heartthrob who spent his entire life as a closeted gay man sent messages to four lovers who he feared could have contracted the disease from him, but he did so anonymously. In letters published in author Mark Griffin's All That Heaven Allows, a biography of Rock Hudson, the actor wrote, "We have recently had sex together and I've been informed by my doctor that I have AIDS. Please go to your doctor and have a checkup." I mean, it's kind of amazing that he did that. It's because before he's even announced that he has AIDS.
How many guys in from the pool days then?
I know. Those seems like he'd written more than four letters.
Yeah.
One of the men realized it was Hudson and sold his story to a tablet. Asshole.
Nice.
But it did not appear until 18 months after Hudson's death in 1985, making him the public face of AIDS.
Oh, my God.
He was. He was the public
he
face
was.
Of AIDS.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a story about AIDS, file photo of Rock Hudson. Always. For decades.
For a really long time until others started.
Hudson was so tormented by the diagnosis, he told a friend that he felt so filthy for being infected. Oh, God, how horrible. In the final months, he flew to Paris for treatment. Thanks for listening to the podcast. An experimental drug called HPA-23, but his close friends said Hudson was in denial. They revealed he once snapped at them in frustration, fear, saying, "I don't have AIDS. If I'm dying, it's from liver cancer. I've known what I've had for 10 years. For Christ's sake, what is all this AIDS shit?" God, how horrible.
AIDS shit.
What is all this AIDS shit? The book reveals...
I need to go for a swim. I mean, get out the new skimmers.
This guy, too, I mean, had lived the most charmed life up to this point, too. The book reveals Hudson's inner pain due to decades of living in the closet while publicly playing the role of red-blooded heterosexual male pinup. Yeah. Long before he landed in Hollywood, he understood if he wanted to be accepted, the very essence of who he was would have to be edited out of the frame. Well said. Hudson's bio is set to become a major motion picture directed by Greg Berlanti, who recently directed a high school love story about a closeted gay teen, Love, Simon. Some of the most disturbing scenes are likely to be Hudson's early life in rural Winnetka, Illinois.
What?
Whoa, really? He lived near you.
He went to New Trier. He went to my high school.
Rural?
What?
It's not rural.
Everybody went to your high school.
I know. Where he was beaten by his stepfather, Wallace Fitzgerald, an abusive drunk. Hudson, who took Fitzgerald's surname for much of his youth, was often covered in bruises, and Fitzgerald talked to heterosexualize him by removing any effeminate toys and forcing him to join Boy Scouts. Oh, my God, how weird.
Dick.
Hudson had already seen the man who he thought was his father walk out when he discovered he was not his biological dad. In interviews, Hudson would turn to the phrase, "I just kept my mouth shut again and again when talking about his youth." Okay, where's the AIDS part? The AIDS part? I don't care about this. Griffin writes, been suggested that it was while in the services that Hudson began to have sex with other men. His roommate in the early 50s, Bob Preble, said the actor had a couple experiences in the Navy but did not find them all that enjoyable. Fake!
Huh.
Wait, in the Navy?
Yeah. After being discharged in 1946 honorably, Hudson wrote in his papers he had no children. In fact, that had been the source of much speculation since. Hmm. He had a weekend fling while back home with the mother of a high school classmate. What? The mother? 2014, a woman called Susan Dent sued Hudson's estate seeking an order establishing paternity. She did not seek any money. Lawsuit was dismissed, but the decision was written. We don't care. Where's that gay AIDS part? Elsewhere, his adoptive says, I'm kidding.
He's got AIDS.
Claims she has a letter Hudson wrote to a friend in November 45, which proves he had a secret child, but with a schoolmate. Okay, that's a child.
Where's Rock Hudson's kid?
Hudson's friend, Mark Miller. I think that was the guy that Phil stacked the pool.
Yeah. Assistant of the year.
Said he liked sailors, often had them lined up in his living room, but Rock was the one guy he really fell for. Oh, wait, who's he talking about? Kenny. Who's Kenny?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, Kenneth Hodge, a production assistant, well-known in the business, become his first serious boyfriend.
I can.
At one of Hodge's parties, he threw to help Hudson make connections. He introduced to the famous Henry Wilson, the agent, who would take him on as a client. Oh, he's the one. Okay. Hudson provided a stable of hunky male stars, and Hudson was a perfect specimen.
What?
gross.
How did they manage to keep that secret, though, in Hollywood? I mean, did people just keep the secret because there were secrets against them?
Well, then? Nobody knew reported. Kennedy was banging all those chicks.
Wow. No, he was sued by Mark Christian. Did you?
Oh, that was Libby. Mark Christian's Libby's dude.
Oh, since following Hudson's death, Mark Christian, his former lover, and they... What?
Hudson nailed Mark Christian, too?
Sued his estate on the grounds of intentional infliction of emotional distress because he kept him sick within 8 months after he knew he had AIDS.
What?
Yeah. Christian claimed Hudson continued. Although he had repeatedly tested negative, Christian claimed that he suffered from severe emotional distress after... hearing about it on a newscast.
Wait, I'm mixing him up with Libby's chauffeur.
Libby's wasn't Mark Christian,
Libby's
was
chauffeur.
It?
That was
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Yeah, Larry King talked to him about it.
Libby's chauffeur. He's been in prison, and that guy's been a mess.
Oh, Scott Thorson.
Scott Thorson, who had surgery to look like Libby.
Yeah.
He had plastic surgery to look like Libby. Even though he was better looking than Libby.
Oh, my God, how hideous.
I know, it's so bad.
Oh, here's Mark Christian.
About it in public. But we didn't do a lot of physical, you know, affection or anything.
Could you, go aware. Out to dinner together?
Oh, yeah.
And he no one printed that in columns
no,
and stuff?
No, the press
did you
was
put a penis in his mouth?
20 years ago compared to today.
So. And he had been married.
He had been married, and he did like women as well.
When he was with you, did he also see
right.
women?
No, not at all.
I have a feeling Larry's not going to know how this works between two guys.
We're back with Phyllis Gates, her first ever television interview. She was married to Rock Hudson for 3 years, wrote a book about it back
did you
in
know he was gay?
My husband, Rock Hudson, but has a difficult time talking about it, as you can tell. She was secretary for Rock's agent.
What?
Henry Wilson. Let's cover some things we may have missed going through it the first time.
Didn't
he had
know
a boyfriend at the end who wound up suing him,
for
Mark
him.
Christian.
Mark Christian. Yeah. I felt sorry for him. Because they were doing the same thing to him.
Rock never told him he had AIDS.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I think he won that lawsuit.
Rock married that hag.
Yeah, he's got money, but I don't.
No wonder he was gay.
I didn't say that.
You went to lunch with him?
Yeah, I took him to lunch.
What did you talk about?
What did you talk about?
About everything but what you think we talked about.
You didn't talk about Rock?
No, very little. Very, very little.
Because he loved Rock.
Come on, Phyllis.
Yeah. Very much, I think. We talked about everything.
Did you have sex
I took
with him?
Him at the restaurant down at the beach, and we looked out at the beautiful water, and we just talked. I liked him.
Here's
a lot.
Phyllis Younger.
And then he called me quite a few times. We went to dinner again.
Pretty
but
hot.
I never did. I thought, no, I can't Sawyers. Do that. It just looks bad. That's
yeah,
what
she's
I
pretty.
I was worried about the public.
You
I shouldn't have been, but I was.
She's a good beard.
Well, anybody who's seen Judge Judy what? On the show
How'd
knows she doesn't
there?
Mince words, and
what?
She doesn't shy away from putting Larry really on the spot. So let's take a look at her question.
What?
Wait, why did Trump
I
just pop in here?
Ask Larry one question.
Lots taking of control
said
of all
him,
media.
Who was your favorite interview? My question to Larry was, who was your least favorite interview?
Is he going to say Rock Hudson's lover?
That's a good question. And right comes to mind is Phyllis Gates. Now, you may not know the name. Phyllis Gates passed away recently. She was Rock Hudson's wife. She was an actress.
Really?
She married Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson has just died of AIDS, okay? Now we booked her on, and everyone's excited. This is going to be sensational. Here's a woman who was married to Rock Hudson who has just died of AIDS. She sat down, she said, Miss Gates, nice to have you with us. How did you feel learning this? I felt bad. How did you meet Rock? My agent introduced us. Did you know he had AIDS?
No.
No, I hadn't spoken to him in years.
That's not her fault.
What was he like as a husband?
Trump is so spacing out.
He was nice. He was a good husband.
That's
did
a tough one.
Did you follow his career? A little.
Wow.
Wow. He's not paying attention.
Well, he wasn't kissing her a lot, Larry. Nice. Okay.
Hey!
Wow. Was weird.
Wasn't expecting right. Trump to pop in there.
No, not at all. Pleasant surprise.
That was bizarre. Why was Trump? Why was he talking about that with Trump?
It was a special, like
question,
the
yeah.
25-year anniversary of the CNN show or something.
I can't imagine having a celebration of 25 years of Larry King or well CNN, I guess. But then I missed Larry when he's gone.
Because they're gone. He's still on.
Yeah.
He's on CNN.
No,
and he does
he's on the Russia channel, isn't he?
Yeah. Al Jazeera or whatever it is.
He's on the
those shows got so
yeah,
humorous
right.
at the end. They were so bad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the new shows now are not that good in that regard because they're taped. But Larry King Live was live.
Yeah, here's yeah. here's
and he did no preparation
and he took callers
on purpose.
Here's a clip
the callers
of
were always great.
His most recent show. This was published today.
Oh, cool!
Larry King with Dave Attell.
We both have oh, yes,
Dave Attell.
Larry, look at this.
And
boss, yeah, they have a special on Netflix about, right now.
Hey,
it's a phone.
Oh, who is it, Larry? Oh, hi, Larry. See,
it's you.
See? There you go.
Are you getting some internet?
Oh, yeah, the old days of texting. There's no.
It's called Larry King now.
Tell, me, tell him what's coming in on your news feed.
actually, what do you need a news feed? I read the newspaper. Okay, ready?
You the last time he opened his phone, he found out that OJ was going south on the 405.
I don't know where he comes up with them. But isn't it great, Larry? Oh, here we are, two classics, right? With these phones, these young kids over here, these millennials, right? They're like, oh, I need a
phone. I'm a year younger than him. <I know. laughs>
Never miss a beat. Subscribe to Larry King now and watch new episodes every day.
Alrighty, like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, and use our Amazon portal and check my favorite things. I just wish I had more favorite things.
I just added that book. I just added the Rock Hudson book.
You added the book, but yesterday, excellent. Did you add the Trump doll?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I added the Trump doll.
Oh, yeah, the Bush doll. It was discovered that we didn't get that on the show, did we? The farting Trump doll?
No, it was right after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
a whole series of them.
The same writing crew came up with the material for the Trump.
Oh, boy, did they ever
pull a string doll or farting.
We don't have to play it now because I ordered one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
There's one on its way.
Cool. We can play it live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the audio wasn't the best.
No, but I cannot wait to get it.
Oh. We'll do it live.
I'm gonna track it now.
Did we open the Hall Financial Hotline officially?
Yeah, you weren't paying attention, but yeah.
God damn it!
I ain't even paying attention.
And we
the Hall Financial Hotline was open today. And if you click the link to Hall Financial and fill out the online form, they'll call you back and they will be ready to do a refi or shorten the length of your loan or start a new conventional loan or take money out of your home. Whatever you want to do, do it with Hall. Many successful refis, many successful 5-star reviews with our friends at Hall Financial. Scott Kuhn of the sponsors, the best of tomorrow. If I only had his copy in front of me, I would read a little bit of it. Scott's doing a killer job.
Don't forget the online auction, too, for Killer's Christmas.
Ah, yes, killercares.org. And I know people are bidding on lunch with me and Charlie. Or you can be behind the bar with all of us.
Yep, that...
on Thursday?
Bartending with us December 13th, Thursday at the Lodge. We're going to be there between 7 and 8?
Correct.
Okay. That one ends early. That one ends Tuesday night. But go to killercares.org and you can see everything else that's on there, including visiting this podcast.
Meet Mickey Redmond. Yep. Get some great seats to a Red Wings game. There's some great Lions tickets. There's some great Tigers tickets. Yeah. And watch batting practice also from the dugout.
Oh.
And the best of will be brought to you by Scott Kunath of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. See what your home is worth or help in finding a new one. Call or text Scott at 248-797-7746. I saw him popping off on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah.
He's listening to the show. 248-797-7746 or email skunath at CBWM. And that's SKUNNATH. And the best of tomorrow. And have a great weekend, everybody.